Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
We're supposed to be doing a show. Hopefully Jacob gets it. Should I just start without him?
Yes. Have I ever said no to this?
Shit.
Damn it.
That's what gets him to show up.
What?
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki and Jacob here. You two are giving me more gray hairs every day, and I don't have many left. So how are
you're
you doing?
You're just an old fart.
You make me older.
No, I don't. You age naturally. Not really gracefully, but naturally.
I look good for my age. Fuck you. Joining us, special guest joining us tonight, Drew Van Camp is back on the show. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Welcome back. It is good to have you here. The personnel has changed compared to the last time you were here. So meet Jacob and Aki.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Hey.
That was a good introduction.
Yeah.
we've now met.
Yep.
Did I do that right? Me.
Yes. Yes, we are good.
Was that the show?
Yeah, that was the show. I just stopped recording. It was a good time. Cool. Thank you so much for joining, everyone.
No
music
problem.
Tonight, we're going to play something not from Revo. I want something more upbeat. No. Revo, a game. Drew Van Camp, your game. Tell us about it. What is it? What is the soundtrack? We were listening to it before the show went on. Got some good stuff on there. I love the soundtrack. Tell us about it. Where is it? How much is it? Where can people get it? How many tracks is it? Just everything.
Sure. I'm saying goodnight to the little 9-month old that just peeked in.
Oh,
night. Okay.
Do I have to watch my language?
That part's over now. That segment of the show is now completed.
I'm trusting that's right.
The little face peeked in just as you finished asking me those questions. So, you know, perfect timing. But that would be some news since last we spoke. We've got a second running around now.
Ooh.
But anyway,
congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
One day you'll get sleep.
right. Yeah. But yeah, Revo. Speaking of sleep, I worked on that game forever. I didn't get enough. I guess I didn't get enough sleep. Revo, if somebody here doesn't know, Revo's, it's a shoot 'em up game. It's done sort of in a classical style. It was inspired a lot by Galaga. Has some of the aesthetic inspired by stuff like Tron, and I'm a big fan of The Last Starfighter. A lot of the early to mid '80s sort of vibes. So the soundtrack is literally just the music from the game. Nothing complicated.
Didn't you remix it and reproduce it specifically for release?
I did some subtle things. It's special. Sure. Yeah, actually, I wanted to do something special because yesterday is what I affectionately call Revo Day, because yesterday is the exact 1-year anniversary of launching the game.
Well, congrats on the year.
Yeah. It was a quick year.
Time flies when you're having fun, man.
I didn't expect it to be here already. So I wanted to celebrate the anniversary with something special. And one of the things I'd been planning to do for ages now is release the soundtrack, its own thing. A lot of people seem to really get into the music of the game. It always gets a comment. So, it's something that's close to my heart, just because I like making music as well as games. So, the album is just all the songs that are featured in the game. and it's been polished up a slight bit, but it's pretty much true to in-game. You got the advantage of not having to boot up the game to listen to the soundtrack, though. So
yes, it is available in handy MP3 format, which is nice.
It is, as well as higher quality formats if you prefer that.
Now, where can you get it? Where is it?
A few places. You can get it on Steam, right next to the game Revo. It's under Revo Soundtrack. You can also get it on itch.io, and it's also available on Bandcamp for anyone who wants to use a non-game related option.
How many tracks? How much are you charging?
Yeah. Let's see. I always forget the count of the tracks here.
Do your homework.
It's enough. Yeah, I didn't do my homework. Yeah, I know. We should talk to somebody who knows more about it. it comes to nine tracks.
Nine tracks.
Sells for $6.99. So I feel like it's a pretty good deal if we're going by that old school. What was that old school iTunes 99 cents a track deal?
Yeah, it's $1.29 now. So
not always.
Well, most of the time it's $1.29 for new tracks. Some people are still cool and they'll put songs out at $1. And
well, I was trying to be cool.
You are cool. You came back on our show. That's not something that a lot of people do. So
understandably.
Yeah.
Really.
I did it.
What made you want to come back on?
We knew you'd come crawling back.
Well, I haven't regretted it yet, but the night's young, right?
Yeah, night is young. We are not drunk yet. We can get there.
Oh, should I go grab alcohol? Because I can. I have like 4 or 5 liters of alcohol in the fridge.
Of what?
Of alcohol in the fridge.
You have liters of alcohol?
Uh-huh.
Who brags about having a liter of alcohol?
I don't have a liter. I have multiple liters.
No. I get that. But nobody, you're not European. So why are you measuring it in liters?
Because that's what big bottles of alcohol are measured in. Kind of like, why would I say I have multiple liters of soda in the fridge? Because that's what a fucking 2 liter is called. That's how it's measured.
She's got you there, man.
All right, but we're talking about alcohol, not...
Yeah, it's measured, when you get a big bottle of it, it's measured in that, too.
I thought it'd be like a gallon jug.
I was going to say, like, usually when I buy
gallon alcohol, of whiskey.
It's like, I usually get like a gallon of sangria, so...
See, all the ones I get, they only come in like 0.75 to 1 point something liter bottles.
But listen, I don't know how you come in things, but that's not how I do it.
God damn it. Drew, what's your drink of choice?
I think I'm going to stick to my gallon of water at the moment. Safe bet.
Yeah.
Seems like a safe bet, yeah.
Especially when you're talking to these idiots. Oh, God.
It might be wise. You forgot to mention that to him, didn't you?
What'd you say, Jacob?
I said you forgot to mention how we are to him, didn't you?
Well, I warned him that we make fun of you a lot.
Oh, well, that's... What the hell is a warning about that? That's probably a bonus, if anything.
Yes. Are you starting to regret it yet?
I regret every time.
That is a laugh of regret. That is definitely a laugh of regret. Yes, it is. Tell us more about Revo. Tell us more about the game. It's been a while since you've been on, so some of our listeners might not know exactly what the game is. You mentioned it is a retro-styled shmup. How big is it? How many stages? What's going on in the game?
Yeah, it was modeled initially after Galaga, so it's a vertical shoot 'em up. And as opposed to side scrolling, and it's a little unusual in the sense of the classical design, because it takes up the full widescreen of current display types. If you play a lot of hardcore shoot 'em ups, you'll probably notice a lot of them stick to that narrow vertical stripe in the middle of the screen. And they might do some fancy things off to the side, which, you know, that's cool. And I think I considered that at one point, but I'm just a big fan of big screens, big speakers. I just wanted to use as much of that visual real estate as I could. So I went with the widescreen. It was a bit experimental, but I think it worked out in the end. I just had to kind of get that to the point that it felt right. But vertical shoot 'em up. So you got lots of enemies just sort of cascading downward from the top of the screen.
And there's a lot of friggin' enemies in this. Like, you're not messing around. Even in the early stages, you were getting bombarded with enemies.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually caused me a lot of concern during the production of the game. Toward the end, I was worried that the game was too hard. Turns out I'm probably right. Yeah, it's probably too hard. But believe it or not, that wasn't the goal. But, you know, I think after a point, I was sort of embracing that a little bit. A lot of people were enjoying it anyway. So I've thought about doing some things that are... you know, might smooth the curve of the difficulty curve in the early game, but we'll just have to kind of wait and see if I'm able to shoehorn in a good idea down the road and kind of retrofit maybe a level zero to warm me up or something.
But so is this like an infinite like arcade, or is there a final boss?
Yeah, there's a final boss. It's a handcrafted game. There's a total of 17 levels. I believe that's right. Okay. 17. There are the occasional big bosses that you have to defeat to progress. But most of the time, you're fighting waves of enemies. Like Joe mentioned, there's just gobs of enemies at all times. It's also, I should mention, part of the difficulty. Part of the challenge is that you experience as a player is that the action is really high speed. A lot of shoot 'em ups have very, I guess, if you want to think of it from like a realism point of view, a very slow moving action, or at least the things like bullets are slow in a lot of shoot 'em ups. You know, you have time to react. You can see it moving across the screen towards you, and you can dodge it. In this one, you almost have to anticipate it. And just sort of get used to the idea that you better lead your target and not let them do the same to you, that sort of thing. Just sort of make sure that wherever you are, that you're not there in a half a second, because they'll be shooting at that spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed a good strategy when I was playing is to just zigzag left and right, keep moving, keep on the fire button, as long as there aren't enemies, because I know this game has an ammo system. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's one of the other things that I did stray from some conventions. One of them was using limited ammo. You have an ammo meter that can drain sometimes super quickly. It all depends on what sort of weapon you're using and how liberal you are with holding down the fire button. Of which there are four, because once you've managed to unlock enough weapons, you can equip a loadout of up to four things at once.
Can you hold all of them down at once, or is there a button that lets you just be like, yeah, fire everything at once when I push this button, or anything like that?
You can hold all four fired buttons down simultaneously and get the full effect, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just go nuts. It's up to you. So I just kind of decided, originally the design was to switch between weapons. I even at one point had you toggle, kind of cycle through, sort of, I want to say like Super Metroid, I think, did something like that, where you had to press a button to cycle through your weapons. I was doing that initially, and then eventually it was just like, nah, I just ripped off the limit on that, and you just smash down as many buttons as you can physically do, and go nuts. But your ammo is going to disappear quick, so keep that in mind.
The enemies drop ammo, right? Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing too. So you lose ammo fast, but you also gain ammo fast. That's all intentional, because one of the goals of the game was to just keep the energy high, keep the excitement, the engagement always there. I wanted you to basically have a breathless fight up until you cleared the level. I also tried to keep, in general, the levels aren't super long. But man, if you ever tried to like... I've watched some people stream the game on Twitch, and that's not a game that you can talk to chat while you're playing.
Yeah, I cannot imagine trying to keep up a conversation and play this at the same time.
People try it all the time. Anytime. You get a lot of streamers apologizing to their chat while they're in the middle a level with their eyes glued to their screen.
any good stories you have to tell about that?
Oh, well, I mean, if you stream in the game and you talk to chat, you die. That's the only good story I have.
I didn't know if there was like someone in particular that had a memorable moment.
No, I don't know. I'll have to think about that. I'll hold that in the back of my head here.
Oh man. Performance wise, what kind of rig do you need to run this thing?
You know, that's a great question. I'm going to have to default to my tech team on that one. I don't have a tech team though. So, yeah, it's the performance is not half bad, if you ask me, given this is the first time I've released a commercial game. And man, an action game was probably not the best first choice, because it's hard to juggle all this stuff going on at a technical level as well as like just a game design level. But I guess the minimum specs I could probably, what did I come up with here? Let me pull up the good old Steam page here. What did I put?
Carnage saying it's all about the Pentiums, baby. Nice.
I was trying to be generous with it. I was being all like, you have to have like 3.5 gigahertz Intel. You have to have like 16 gigs of RAM, you know, at the minimum. Just because I didn't want something coming along. And
Windows 3.1.
Yeah, I felt like it might be unwise to understate it. So I think that might technically be a little heavy. But yeah, the minimum and recommended specs are just as much as you can find. Because even though it's just a little classic retro shoot 'em up,
there's a lot of shit going on.
It has a lot going on. It's thinking real hard about how to kill you in game and possibly your PC.
We got a question in chat, a frequent question in chat. Any thoughts of an Xbox port?
Who's asking that? Is Carnage in chat?
Everybody's asking. You know, the whole community now. You know. Of course, it's Carnage.
I see Carnage in there. I know. I think he's the one that first started asking me. He did a great review of the game. Well, I mean, it's probably, so I was thinking about saying something on this topic. It's probably too early to say anything on this topic. Well, I mean, it is too early to say anything on this topic, but despite the wisdom of not saying something, I'm going to say something, which is I started the process of talking to Xbox just the other day.
Nice.
Just this week.
So the wheels are in motion.
The wheels are in motion for finding out if it's possible. Going to be possible.
Rootbeer is asking about a Switch port. Is that something you would like to see?
I'd love to do that. I love playing on the Switch. We got one of those not too long. We were a late adopter to the Switch, and but big fans. Now that I suppose could be an extra bit of challenge. I'm not sure that the specs of the Switch are quite the same as the specs on the Xbox. So hardware-wise, so you know, speaking of performance, that might be a bit of a challenge for me, you know, navigating hardware specs. But
getting so much on screen at once.
What's that?
Is it getting so much on screen all at once?
I think maybe I've been going through a process of optimizing the game as the months progress. Even post launch, I'm continuing to find bugs, fix them, add a little polish here and there. And I'm even trying to optimize things as we go. So it's going to continue to get optimizations for as long as I can work on it. I suppose all of that will kind of converge into good things happening. But yeah, I think Switch would be cool. I think PlayStation would be cool. I think it'd just be cool to be on a console at all. So I'm interested.
So the interest is there, and the wheels are in motion. Fingers crossed something happens.
Yeah, so that'd be great. I'd love it.
Now you can tell Carnage to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. All for you, Carnage.
Oh, we love you, Carnage. What else are you considering working on? Any other game ideas you have kicking around that you're working on?
Yeah. I I was a little out of commission on game work for a couple months, few months or something like that. Holidays at the end of the year, and our daughter was just born in November. And so been busy trying to figure out the new way of life we're in at the moment, but that's going well, and I'm back to working on game stuff. I think it was the first week of January I started a little game prototype, and I'm trying to think of how many I've done. I've done a small handful of game prototypes since the beginning of the year. I'm working on one right now that I'm actually pretty excited about, but of course they're prototypes, so you know they're not promises. I'm not sure.
Any details you can share on it?
Well, I've got two things that I made this year available to play for anyone. I maintain a page on Itch that I was just gonna pull it up. Let's see. Maintain a page on Itch that has a couple of these things. There it is. Let's see, which one did I come out with first? So I was messing around with sort of kind of a runner style, I guess. Kind of a runner racer type of game. I'm not sure if I want to do another action game right away, if I want to make that the big focus. Like I pointed out, action can be pretty hard to manage. From a performance standpoint, as well as a gameplay balance standpoint. But then after doing a little thing on sort of like a speeder type hovercraft thing, I shifted over and did a sort of a Subnautica inspired underwater exploration game. It's a little thing called Exodiver. You can go and play on Itch right now, where you go to an alien planet and pilot a submarine, collect treasure, ship it off to orbit, and possibly discover some secrets along the way.
That looks really cool.
So it's a little
kind of secrets.
Kind of secrets, the ones that would spoil the game if I told you.
Fair.
You might find ancient relics or something.
Of a long gone civilization.
Sure, we'll say that they're long gone.
Oh, but no. They're not.
Does it though?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So just me trying to do a little adventure game, but it turned a bit more into a puzzler as I was going. Not really sure what direction I would take if I went bigger with it, but that was a fun thing, and I probably put way too much time into that one little so-called prototype. It's more of a vertical slice of nicely polished demo.
I see all the fun is on your personal itch.io page and not on the Cosmic Misfit itch page.
All the fun, is that what you said?
Yeah, all the fun little...
Yeah, well, I need a place to experiment, you know, and not have to care too much about what I make. So there's all kinds of things. Every Halloween, I like to spend about 30 days and work on some spooky game of some sort. Not necessarily a horror, but just something with an eerie vibe.
It's like a personal game jam kind of thing.
Yeah, you could say that. I'm the only one doing it. probably the only one playing it. That means I usually hassle someone. Yeah, I win every time. I take the trophy home. We just recycle the trophy each year, though. Same trophy.
A can of beans.
Don't have to buy a bigger shelf now. So I've got this thing from, I think, way back. I think I started doing that in 2020. September 2020, I did a little game called, I call it Abyss, where you're locked up in a prison in a very dark, spooky place. And and you just kind of have to puzzle your way through. It's a first-person 3D inspired by Myst and Riven, because that's been a big influence on me since the 90s. So little thing like that.
I'm curious to know more about Untitled Platformer 2022. I like platformers.
Yeah, that's the hotness. Yeah. There's really not much there. That's why I was nothing pretty yet. I didn't give it a fun name. that's the kind of name I give something when I want to make sure I'm not making too many promises.
Well, clearly, this is the beginning of the SML game.
Right, yeah. I think it was around that time that you had mentioned something like that.
Yeah, we got to have a shitty... Well, if you're making it, it won't be shitty. It'll actually be quality, so that's a step up already. I was thinking we would find someone from Russia who just does, like, black market video games, but...
Go to Fiverr, have yourself a
game. Go to Fiverr. Make me a prototype. Yeah,
I guess you found that from the main game page, which has the whole gallery of them listed there.
Yeah.
Did you read the little subtitle of that one? Untitled Platformer.
Don't play, not a game yet.
Don't play, not a game yet.
Yep, I didn't play it yet.
Did you see Untitled Farmer 2022?
I did.
Yeah, farming game.
It says it's almost a game.
Almost a game. but a little teaser in that, if you ever wanted to plant seeds and grow bacon plants, you can do that. it's implemented. It's in the game. If we can call it a game.
Bacon seeds. And I don't think we can call it a game. Bacon Farmer 2023. So, there you go.
Clearly I have a specific direction creatively that I work in. I have a specific style, specific themes I try to work in. Yeah.
Oh Lord. We love it.
Never stray from that path. Yeah, so I needed a place to experiment. So yeah. So I run two itch accounts. I run two of everything, I think, these days.
You have two Twitters?
I have two Twitters, yep.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
I have two. I have
my
personal one and the SML one, which Jake abuses too.
Yep. There you go. Sometimes. But he'll never abuse your account. So
don't check our Facebook page.
Oh, okay, my bad. I spoke too soon. Yeah.
It used to be, you know, tons of information about the podcast on Facebook, and then now just become a haven of shit posting.
Why not anything else? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I honestly gave up on our Facebook page. So whatever he's done with it is what he's done to it.
And the best thing is that it's actually like gained followers as I continue shit posting. So we're up to 406
what
now.
What kind of followers, I should ask? Or maybe I shouldn't.
No.
Never mind.
I don't want to know either.
I retract the question.
Oh, man. So is there anything about Revo or the soundtrack you wanted to bring up that we didn't?
Well, sure. I mean, lots of stuff been going on over the past several months. Well, year, almost a year, depending on how you want to count it. I mean, I obviously I've been making fixes to the game, polishing it up a little more, trying to make sure it's a bit more solid experience for everyone. I still have some accessibility things I wanted to try to work in there, things like remappable controls.
What could you remap in that game, considering you use the face buttons so heavily?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe map all the fire buttons to one button. Did Naki say something
like
that?
Yes. Yes, please.
There you go.
I think give us the ability to flip it to one button.
Yeah. So there's an audience for that, right?
Yeah, people who can't push four buttons at the exact same time.
Right, yeah, I mean, that's not just a personal taste thing. It can be an accessibility feature as well, out of necessity. But so there's things like that I'd like to do. Now, you know how I mentioned I like doing stuff around Halloween? Well, right after launch, Halloween quickly came up a couple months later, and I introduced some holiday Easter eggs for the month of October. If you boot up Revo during the month of October, any year going forward, you'll get the special Halloween edition running.
Interesting.
Just yeah. So some things have been swapped out. Some things are a little different. I'll let you hunt for where the Easter eggs are. The game still plays the same. I wanted to make sure I wasn't sure at the time that I really wanted to mess with that too much. Maybe change experience too much. I still wanted to be the same game. Essentially, so it's the same levels, it's the same enemies, kind of same weapons, kind of, but little flavor added. And I did the same thing when Christmas rolled around. I was just trying to hit some of the big obvious opportunities people might actually look for something like that. So if you boot it up, I guess it's the whole month of December off the top of my head. I think that's what I did. Any day in December, it'll It'll give you the Christmas edition.
Any There's, thoughts of making those like an optional toggle that people could access whenever they want?
Yeah, I've thought about doing some things with the little extras that have like slipped a
Valentine's
in there.
Day one.
Yeah, Arbor actually, Day. I almost did. You say Arbor Day? I like it. I might. I really wanted to do. I almost did Valentine's Day, and I think I just kind of ran slim on time. And I really want to do St. Patrick's Day. I think it would be awesome if all the if you collected lots of gold coins instead of the typical resources that just rain down. I think it'd be great. It's a super beam weapon. Sorry if that's a spoiler for anyone. I won't tell you where it is. The super beam weapon could turn into a huge rainbow light. I think that would be amazing.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
I don't know what else, but you know, a green ship instead of a blue one. I don't know. But I think that holiday would be, that's my next best favorite one to try.
Nice. Carnage is asking, any thoughts on Steam achievements?
Yes, I've been looking at that. I almost tried to get something like that running for the anniversary, but even with a month or two to go prior to that date coming up, I was looking at it, just shaking my head like, I don't think I'm going to tackle this that quickly. I think I'm going to have to... The game wasn't designed for achievements. I mean, it wasn't... What I mean is it wasn't architected, it wasn't engineered to be ready to just slip that in. Partly just I needed to gain some more experience building the games, but also just because I was just so focused on specific gameplay elements, trying to get that core experience just right, that certain other things kind of fell by the wayside. But yeah, I've had lots of people ask me about achievements, and I'd love to do that. So I'm looking at it, and I need to figure out what achievements. So feel free to toss any ideas my way. Shout them at me from anywhere you are. I'll make a list and and start
Carnage,
working on
the calling has arrived.
Yep. Yeah, just hit me up. there's a little discussion thread started on Steam on the Revo community hub over there, just about achievements. So if anybody wants to add some comments there, just head over to Revo's store page and look for the community. What do we call it? Button, tab, I don't know. Thingy.
Obvious achievement thingy. Is when you get the super powered super gun laser. You shoot it, and it's called Shooting My Lasers for SML.
Laser finger guns achievement. You did it. Yep. So achievements would be great. I think I need to work in a stat system. There isn't really a proper stat system, and I think a lot of achievements would be built upon that. So that's why I put the brakes on for that.
I was just about to ask if there was any kind of stat tracking in the game.
Yeah, see, that would make some achievements just instantaneously easy to do. Yeah, so yeah, maybe next game I'll get that right from the beginning. But
so Revo, yeah, like 2 to confirmed to have achievements.
That's an interesting confirmation.
You heard it here first.
How'd you read that in that?
World exclusive.
Clearly, my abilities that
listen. So you know.
Yeah, I gave you some very strong vines there. Yeah,
don't worry, your secret's safe with us.
just between you, me, and the internet.
Oh yeah.
The internet never holds things against me.
It's okay. The internet will forget this one. They say the internet never forgets. We're proof they do.
I don't think I mentioned that I did add a boss rush mode. I added a boss rush.
Is that something available right off the start? Do you have to like beat the game first to unlock that?
Yeah, you got to unlock that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to unlock it. But, yep. Yep. I am thinking about possibly loosening that a little bit. Maybe, something like if you've beaten a boss in the main campaign, maybe it'll unlock boss rush for you to practice that boss again, or maybe I'll, you know, something in between.
That'd be cool.
Compromise on the plan there. Yeah, because I am interested in lowering some barriers to where I've noticed they can be pretty aggressive. Because I want people to be able to enjoy as much of the game as they can. I've even thought about adding harder and easier modes. There's already a hard mode that you can unlock. But I've thought about trying to come up with maybe an extra hard mode.
I know what the easy mode could be.
What's that?
All the guns have infinite ammo.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I even thought about safe mode where you can't take damage. I noticed.
You'll have me as a player then.
See, there you go. I thought a second person might like that. The other one is my 6-year-old son. He's enjoyed playing it. But
hey, wait, I take offense to that. I'm slightly better than a 6-year-old, playing
this game. I disagree with that, but okay.
Hang on a second.
All right. Now who's taking me a run for my money?
But I think it would be fun just to unload on the enemies, just hold down all the buttons and not worry about whether or not you're taking damage at the time. That kick off the shoes, put up your feet, and just tear through.
And something you could also chalk up as accessibility as well, because it lets newer players and less experienced players get to enjoy the game as well.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple ideas that are on the table that double as just for fun and also would actually open up the opportunity for a lot more people to be able to play and have a good time with it.
There's a couple games that do the whole, you have a difficulty mode that means you don't take any damage, and those are always really helpful, especially if they don't negatively impact achievements.
Yeah, and that's trying to figure out how you square up achievements so that it feels like an achievement, and so it feels meaningful. That's going to be one of the challenges ahead, especially when I cross it with difficulty levels. But I don't know. Maybe I can do mode specific achievements. I don't know. I'll have to figure out how that maps and what people are going to want, what people are going to hate, and try to avoid some of those hate things. And just do the things that people are going to enjoy the most. But
I'll tell you one that a lot of people hate is beating the game without dying, beating the game without like taking hits or without using continues. Like I'm not a fan of stuff like that. Yeah.
But dare I ask, isn't that the definition of an achievement right there, man?
It is.
Wouldn't you feel like you achieved something?
I'm too old for those achievements.
What are achievements for? Yeah, and who wants the achievement?
That is true. What are achievements for? If games just hand them out like candy, that's
right. Yeah, I don't mind the occasional "he walked to the left" achievement. but I appreciate that. I think that's a good one. But
I mean, Joe, you should probably be quiet because Rattalake might be listening on this one.
No one listens.
Man. I don't know. I sort of feel like maybe there should be a wide dynamic range of achievements from easy to difficult, and just try to fill that up as much as possible. But yeah, I don't know where the extents should lie.
I think the sadistic ones are where I.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was having a discussion with some people about grindy achievements. There's some achievements where you want to take out 5,000 of something, but that's because there are literally 5,000 per level or something.
Yeah. Like that. See, I don't mind.
In your case, that's what it feels like.
I don't mind grindy achievements and cumulative achievements as long as tracking works. Like, let me know how far I am to getting these million kills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's true, and that's where the stat system would be great.
Yeah,
if I got the stat system running, then I could spit out a nice little metric for you. One of the modes I've also thought about adding for a long time, and partly almost did. I got it partly implemented and then disabled it because it wasn't working out. But I'm planning on trying to get a 1cc in there because you got a lot of shoot 'em up hardcore shoot 'em up fans that live and die by the 1cc. Plays where they just drop in one quarter and wipe out the game.
That's what Root Beer's saying. 1cc is the only achievement shooter players strive for.
One of the more hardcore.
What does that even mean?
One credit clear.
Sorry, yeah, one credit clear. So from the arcade days of dropping a single credit into the arcade cabinet. If you could move the game with only one quarter in your pocket.
Back when arcade games only cost a quarter instead of needing a dollar slot.
Right, the dollar slot. That was a highly offensive thing to find every time I was in an arcade. Come on. This is a video game.
Yeah.
What am I made of money? I only get $1, and that gives me 4 quarters. I'm not putting them all in one game.
Carnage saying, just don't make it one life, make it one continue so it's doable. I can understand that.
Yeah. I think 1cc just means you hit play and you didn't get the
game terrible, over. Yeah.
Well, like whatever would be like a final, terrible, awful, and you ended your turn. Now the next person has a right to play. Yeah. So, yeah. If you earn extra lives while you're playing on that 1/4 worth of play, then yeah, it counts.
Now, remember, if you want different achievements, you can get in touch with Drew Van Camp. Where can people send those ideas?
Well, gosh, there's a few ways to get a hold of me. I'm on the Discords. I'm on the Tweeters. My personal Twitter is at Drew Van Camp. That's VanCamp. Discord, I guess what's the best way for that? I guess I'll drop you a link. You can drop in the description, or I can drop one in the chat here. I'll drop a little invite right here.
Nice.
But yeah, people are welcome to come over to the Discord. Tippy tappy, tippy tappy, tippy tappy, right live on the show. It's all done live, folks. Like my mechanical keyboard, it glows too.
Does it?
It does. It's purple right now.
Mine just has like, it's like fake glowy. It just has like an LED behind it. So it's just one white light.
Well, this was a lovely Christmas gift from my lovely wife, so it's a nice one.
Mine's cheap as shit. My mouse changes colors. It's cheap as shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
mine are terrible.
All of mine are just wired black ones that cost like $15 or something.
I was looking at a keyboard mouse set at GameStop on clearance for like $65, and I couldn't bring myself to do it. Yeah. Like, I don't need to spend that much for a keyboard.
All right, Grandpa.
Exactly.
I'm kind of the same way, though.
Oh, man.
I'll drool over it, though. I'll walk through and drool over all the pretty, shiny things.
Maybe next time they're doing 50% off clearance, I'll jump on that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine spending more than like $20 on this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a cheap bitch.
Usually I just take Joe's old throwaways.
He does. He takes a lot of my sloppy seconds. Lots of figures and games and collectibles and...
So you're like, Jesus Christ, just get it out of my house.
Yeah, I'm moving. You take it. Oh, man. Well, Drew, we got to move on to news. Did you want to hang out with us for news, or did you want to head out?
No, that'd be great. Yeah, I'll hang out for a little bit, as long as I can, anyway.
Cool. Well, a lot of news to talk about. Gamescom is this week, and Jeff Keighley had his magical Gamescom opening night live ceremonies, I guess, that had tons of world premieres. We'll go down what happened during the event. They showed off a new game. It's an open world player driven adventure, quote, the scope and ambition like nothing else. It is a game called Everywhere. They say that you can watch, share, and create. I thought it was confusing.
Yeah, lots of people didn't know what it was, so they actually ended up making a statement afterwards that doesn't tell you any fucking thing either.
Well, it's going to be in the hands of players sometime in 2023, though.
Oy vey.
Yeah, after that, they showed off Dune Awakening from Level Infinite Games and Funcom. It is an open-world survival MMO coming to PS5, Series, and PC. Jacob, any thoughts on a new Dune game?
I saw the trailer. I mean, the trailer was really butthole. Pretty. But I mean, like, I don't know. I'm not big on open world survival, like, kind of crap, because I don't need somebody being a complete dickbag and, like, killing me while I'm trying to, like, I don't know, build my hut and barely survive. So.
Yeah, I hope there's an offline option.
Like, wait, there is?
I said I hope there's an offline option.
Oh.
I can't imagine there being one.
See, I just kind of wish that there would just be like a straight like action adventure game. Like,
yeah, that's what I'd like out of this.
But everything is you know, it's online and, you know, multiplayer and all this other kind of shit. Like, I mean, there's an RTS that's coming out too. And didn't they say there was also like a Dune mobile game coming as well?
I believe so.
Probably.
Yeah, and it's just like, no, like all of these things, like, and my wife is a big Dune fan of at least like the first book. She's read a few of the books, but like, she's just like, you really just need to read the first book and that you're good. It's just like, I mean, she loves the movies and like, she would love to play a video game, but it's just like, all of the games are things that like hold absolutely no interest for her. And it's just genres like,
you don't care about.
Yeah. It's like, all right, well, it's Dune. So guess what? You're now doing an RTS. Cause that's the only thing Dune does. Like, okay. So I don't know.
We'll find out more.
It looked cool. I hope that they make more Dune games, just not that.
Yeah. Something else that has the internet buzzing is the DualSense Edge wireless controller. It is basically Sony's version of an Elite controller. It has trigger stops. It has swappable analog sticks. It looks like they're going all out with this one.
Does it have a bunch of lights that light up everywhere and suck up battery?
Probably. It's a Sony controller. They have to have lights.
Swap out both of your joysticks for lights, yeah.
Yes. Light up analog sticks.
It's actually just a big light bulb.
They've done stuff kind of like that before with their controller, so...
I'm worried that they didn't announce a price. Like, how expensive is it going to be if they announce it without saying what it's going to, like, at least Xbox, they're like, it's going to be $180. Eat it.
Yeah, well, this one's probably going to cost even more because of another piece of news that we're going to talk about later, probably.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'll get there.
Sonic the Hedgehog 3?
Shut up. Callisto Protocol was shown off. Yes! There's basically a human wood chipper in the game.
Yes. who puts that many giant meat grinders on a spaceship or whatever they're on?
Did you see this trailer? It was
I watched the entire thing. Oh, I can't wait. They added stealth elements into it so you can get up behind people and stealth kill them. Oh my god, I want this game so bad.
You know, Aki, we should probably talk to you about this off the show, but your level of excitement about throwing people into wood chippers, like,
is unhealthy. Yeah, I know.
A little bit. I mean, the fact that you classify Fargo as a porno.
Fargo. I haven't seen Fargo.
Whatever. That was a good joke.
It was a good joke.
Thank you.
I will say, like, I was watching the demo, and the whole time they're doing the demo, it's like he would shoot the guy 6 times, it would do nothing, and then he would force grab him and throw him into the wood chipper. Like, why didn't you do that from the beginning?
Yeah,
why are you bothering with guns?
Yeah, I don't like how the weapons seem to be interacting because they don't do anything. It's like, then why do we have guns if they do nothing? Oh, it made him pause for 1 second after you emptied like 2 clips into him. Ooh, yeah. I like that they had there was melee too. It didn't seem very good, but it's nice that they had it.
No, it comes out in December, so we'll find out more then. I wasn't really a fan of the final segment they showed that had you going down like a sewer pipe and you had to move left and right to avoid obstacles.
That was okay to me. That felt very, you know...
It felt very video gamey.
Yeah, it was very Tomb Raider-y. It also kind of reminded me of the second or third Dead Space had a section kind of like that. But it was okay. If there's not a whole bunch of them, I'm fine.
It seemed like a cross between Dead Space and Tomb Raider to me too.
Yeah. That death scene at the end though was pretty fantastic, where he got hit by the giant fan blade.
Oh, I can't wait until the game comes out because I know within like a week there's going to be a giant
best
thing
of just clips all the on YouTube. Ways.
No, they won't even do just the best of. They'll show you literally every way that he can die. Because is it like in the original Dead Space games, there wasn't just one, oh, this enemy killed you. It was like, this enemy killed you from behind, from the side, and from the front. all had different animations.
Yeah.
And I can't wait, because it's made by the same people, so I just know there's going to be like 50 billion different fucking death sequences, and it's so cool.
Oh, you are disturbing, Aki.
Yes.
After that, they showed off a world premiere of Lords, The Lords of the Fallen. It is the sequel to Lord of the Fallen, coming to PS5, Xbox Series, and PC. No date on it, but it's coming from Hexworks Studio. It looks like it could be promising. I like the first game, and if it's more of the same, it could be solid.
Wait, it's a sequel? I it was a reboot.
Maybe it's a reboot?
You're the only person I know who has ever had anything good to say about that game.
About Lord of the Fallen?
Everyone else I know hates it, and I'm like, wow. I have
the collector's edition for the first game.
You have a collector's edition for everything, though.
So I need a collector's really edition for Revo. Drew, what would be in your collector's edition?
Do we need a plush of something?
Yes.
We talking about like a box set?
Yeah.
Needs a steel case, obviously.
Obviously.
And a few rare postcards from each region of the game.
And a statue. And a plushie. And
yeah, we need statues of each of the bosses.
Each of the bosses.
You're going to suck up all of Joe's money.
You are.
Okay. All right.
He'll buy literally all of that.
Is THQ putting out this collector's edition? I still can't believe that
apparently THQ... Apparently this collector's edition needs to be within the $20 range, though.
Yeah, like THQ, they're... Did you see the price of their Destroy All Humans 2 collector's edition?
Ooh, no, but I assume it's so like cool. 250 or something.
$400.
Whoa.
Okay, definitely. Bad. No. Jesus.
That's how much the first one was, too.
Really?
Yeah. And the Biomutant one. And the Darksiders with the four figures.
Well, that one kind of made sense, because that was four different statues. That stuff gets expensive pretty quick.
I mean, you can see the size of the alien behind me.
Yeah, I forgot you had that, yeah.
It's a big fucking alien over there, so.
Yeah, he's cool.
Anyway, more news. Moving Out 2 is coming to all platforms in 2023, so that's cool.
No one cared about
Moving Out. They showed a new video for Hogwarts Legacy, which is coming out February 10th, and is itself the subject of some shitty news where people found out PlayStation is getting an exclusive quest in the game. After Sony bitched about Microsoft's exclusivity.
Yeah, fuck Sony.
Yeah, this is frustrating that Sony continues to do this shit while crying about when Xbox buys a company. I don't know. It's all dumb. I hate exclusive stuff. That's
because it's Sony. It's all dumb because it's Sony, specifically.
Anyway, new Tales from the Borderlands is coming out October 21st on all platforms. No, nothing on that.
I never really got into the Borderlands games. I played the first two, and they were just...
Well, this is Tales from the Borderlands. This is, like...
Yeah, it's like a Telltale kind of thing.
Oh, I was never big on those either.
Oh. Dying Light 2 is getting Bloody Ties DLC. It's going to be some new arena combat on October 13th. Destiny 2 Lightfall is going to be coming out in February, and then they gave out an award for the most wanted PC game.
Hold on. There's also some other news for Destiny 2 as well. Not only are they bringing out that new expansion, but they're also letting people play all of the expansions that they've bought instead of locking them away behind vaults like they've been doing.
I thought that was only for future stuff, that they weren't going to lock stuff away. I thought all the stuff that's gone is already gone.
I think it's for everything, though I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's for everything. However, it's, you know, like all your weapons and your armor stuff that you can get specifically from that, all that seasonal stuff is still going to be locked, just not the campaigns, I guess, or whatever the hell they are.
I just think it's dumb that I bought Destiny 2 when it came out, and if I wanted to go back and play the game where I was, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's stupid. They say that they keep putting it all away in the vault because it gets too large otherwise, but like, there are weapons and weapon skins that takes up no room whatsoever.
Well, the new areas take up space.
Well, those areas are being kept now.
Yeah.
So that's not... They're taking away the specific missions you can do, the weapons and the armor that you could unlock.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that, because those take up no room whatsoever. It's so dumb.
Well, you want to know what's better than that? The most wanted PC game of Gamescom, which went to Metal Hellsinger.
Cool. I think that was the speedrunning shooter game.
This is the one that has like Serge Tankian in it. It has the guy from Trivium. I'm blanking on all the musicians in the game, but there's like a dozen vocalists in the game from various metal bands.
Nice.
They had a world premiere of Sonic Frontiers. Doesn't look good.
Okay. I thought it looked fine. I mean, it was... Eh.
My kids will be excited.
Yeah, we'll find out when it comes out in November 8th.
Yeah, it looks like every other 3D Sonic game that's ever been made. It looks the exact same as all of them, so it's like,
Parallel Studio and Quantic Dream are working on a game called Under the Waves for 2023 on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC.
I'm kind of excited for that. That looks like that could be a pretty good action game. I'm just wondering if it's going to be more action or if it's going to be kind of like I just talked about this earlier today too. The one where you crash land on an alien planet and then you have to
Subnautica?
Yes, that. I'm wondering if it's going to be like Subnautica or if it's going to be more action based.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering about it being like a Subnautica game, which I'd be cool with. I had fun with I'm still having fun with Subnautica.
I like the Subnautica games, but I think I'd prefer if it was more action orientated, because if they add the Subnautica stuff to what they showed, it's likely going to be really heavy survival, like you need to constantly keep oxygen and stuff, and that would drive me out of my mind.
I'm not a fan of the survival elements and stuff. I don't know. It's a genre I can't get into.
They're very small and very basic.
Yeah. Something guaranteed to not have survival elements is Goat Simulator 3. Showed off a ton of gameplay on this one. It looks batshit crazy, coming out November 17th to Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and PC.
I'm still trying to 100% Goat Simulator 2, honestly.
I've never played any of so.
Well, there's only one. So.
Love that. I love that they just skipped to 3. That makes me happy. I love Coffee Stain. They're a cool studio.
Wait, now I'm so confused. What?
There's no Goat Sim 2.
Yeah, there's no Goat Sim 2. They just announced Goat Sim 3.
Okay, then. That's one way to go about it. All right.
You know, why not?
I guess. I
mean, it's like the Traveling Wilburys. I mean, they only released 1 and 2, or 1 and 3 of their albums.
Or the 1-ups where they have Volume 1, Volume 2, and Volume 4.
I did read today that
shit drives me nuts.
The skip straight to 3 could be sort of a joke where they're poking fun of how long it took them to come around to doing another Goat Sim.
That wouldn't shock.
But I figure they also did it just because.
Yeah, they're crazy.
They enjoy it. They enjoy a little guffaw every once in a while.
Something else that is guaranteed to be funny is Return to Monkey Island. That is coming out September 19th for Switch and PC. And if you pre-order, you get free horse armor.
Woo! Yeah.
They confirmed it does nothing in the game. It is just an item that sits in your inventory. It doesn't help you. There is no quest for it. It does absolutely nothing but sit in your inventory.
I think that was Jeff Keighley's favorite joke.
I love it.
I think that was Jeff Keighley's favorite joke of the show.
It was beautiful. I mean, it looks great.
He was pretty thrilled about that after that trailer ended.
A game Purnell is pretty friggin' excited about is called Moonbreaker. It is a new IP from Unknown Worlds, a turn-based sci-fi game with tabletop style gameplay, literally tabletop pieces battling each other. You could build teams, paint characters, and play tabletop wars, and people are going to be able to try it out September 29th. I don't know if it's early access, if it's a beta. They just said we'll be able to check it out more on September 29th.
And interestingly, that's by the studio that created Subnautica.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if this is going to be able to be like co-op, like if you can play with a whole bunch of people and create your own campaigns and stuff, because this could end up being like the next tabletop RPG game.
The next? And, is there a one now?
There's a couple of them that exist on Steam, but they're far and few between.
Are you talking about? Are you talking about just the general simulators where they just simulate tabletop games?
There's a couple of them where you can actually play with multiple people and actually play proper campaigns.
It's a specific game that you're playing, or is it just like a sandbox?
I think all of them currently are specific games. I don't think any of them are sandboxes. The one that comes to mind immediately is Kingmaker, which is a Pathfinder-based one, and it's based on the Kingmaker campaign.
Anyway, moving on, they had a card game with guns. How do you like that combination? It's called Friends vs. Friends. It is coming soon to PC and console, and it had a catchy theme song.
You and theme songs.
Hey.
That's what we were told.
It's a catchy theme song. Next game they showed off was called Lies of P, a third-person action game from NeoWiz and Round 8 Studios. Aki, tell us about this one.
You play as Pinocchio. Basically. It's a Soulsborne type game. Thankfully, it seems like it's not as hard as the Dark Souls games. So that's nice for me. But it just looks really nice. I really want to play that.
Yeah. Well, it's coming out in 2023 for Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. Best of all, day one Game Pass. Yay!
Well, so even if we don't get to review it, I might still be able to play it, providing I don't have too many review games.
Oh, God. they showed Stranded: Alien Dawn, A Brave New World, coming to Early Access in October on Steam. So they got that. Atlas Fallen, a new game from Focus Entertainment and Deck 13, coming out in 2023 to Series, PS5, and PC.
If the game actually plays like that cutscene, I'm going to be so hyped for that game, too.
That's a big if.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out. Homeworld 3 coming out first half 2023. A new update video for Genshin Impact. A new game from the Genshin devs called Honkai Star Rail, which looked to be kind of like an Among Us style game, but on a train in space, where like death comes to like five people or something like that. It's like five of you, or no, they comes to however many people and says five are marked, you're one or you're not one. And I'm guessing whoever's marked has to die and whoever isn't marked has to kill the ones. And you got to find out who's marked and who isn't.
I completely missed that
one. That's what I got from the trailer. So, they gave out the award for the most wanted Xbox game of Gamescom, and it went to The Last Case of Benedict Fox.
That game looks really cool.
It does.
I'm looking forward to that one, too. There's so much I'm looking forward from this.
they showed off some new gameplay for High on Life, which is coming out this December for Xbox and Game Pass. The show got M-rated very quickly when this game came out.
I can't wait for it either.
It looks so ridiculous. The quote that I got was a talking knife saying, "I'll cut his fucking asshole off."
Yeah. All the things the knife says is great, because we've actually heard him in one of the other trailers, too, and whatever he said in that was really funny, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to High on Life. I'm a Rick and Morty fan, so I can't wait for more on this.
Very much so.
During their commercials, they had a trailer for Hard Space Shipbreaker, coming September 20th to PS5 and Series from Focus Entertainment. It is a zero-G space salvaging sim.
It looks good. I've been waiting for this for over a year.
Have you?
So has that been an early access?
On Steam, it's been in early access for some time now.
Okay, because I know I've seen it played. Yeah, I was pretty sure I'd seen it played before. It does look pretty neat. Yeah, seems like a whole genre is being formed around that kind of game.
Yeah, some games are great.
There's another game. I don't want to derail too much. That's a pun because the other game I'm thinking of is Trains related.
Train Simulator?
No. It's got sort of a either like a European or sort of a Russian vibe to it. And it has a bit of a, it's weird. Like it's intentionally a very weird game where you ride a train through portals and it's like a weird open sky space. But anyway, yeah, it reminded me a lot of the Shipbreaker game. Just a totally different type of setting, more of a fantastical setting rather than a hard sci-fi setting. So I'm sort of feeling like there's a genre forming around this type of game where you're
just kind salvaging
of,
things.
In that case, you're based on a train that's constantly in motion. In this case, you're based on a ship of some sort. The ship. I guess you actually have a salvaging ship.
Well, in this, you're salvaging spaceships in space. So yeah.
Oh, right. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, I guess you got kind of like some sort of home base or some ship that you're based from.
Simber is saying Void Train. Is that the name of it?
Void Train. That's it. Yeah. Thank you. Yep. Void Train. That sounds right. Void Train looked really interesting. Obviously not a Gamescom reveal, but something I saw.
Carnage dropping link. So I guess I'll have to check that out later.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting looking thing. But it also has the thing, the aspect where you leave your spot kind of either tethered or floating, free floating, and I think you're collecting stuff.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that seems like a gameplay theme I'm noticing. I think that's interesting. I could be the only one. Please continue.
Will do.
All right. Next up was a Game Pass PC hype reel. Showed off a bunch of games coming to PC Game Pass. I'm sure a few of these will hit Xbox Game Pass as well. Let's see. They had Midnight Fight Express, Mad Streets, Grid Legends, You Suck at Parking, Mortals, Beacon Pines, Disney Dreamlight Valley, which I know Jacob is excited for, Immortality, High on Life, Slime Rancher 2, and Tinykin.
Slime Rancher 2.
Yeah.
I missed that.
I'm excited for Tinykin. It looks a lot like Pikmin. After that, they had a video on The Expanse, a Telltale series coming summer 2023 based on the TV show, which I am not familiar with, so I have nothing to say about it.
Good show. It's really good science fiction.
Is it?
I watched like 3 episodes. It seems good, but part of me just decided to never finish it just to spite one of my friends.
Oh, nice.
Oy vey. Yeah, it does all the math and stuff correctly. So, and it does everything as though it were real life. So they do everything by math. Like, if they go super fast travel, they have to speed up over time and slow down over time because the body couldn't manage it and stuff like that. If you really like hard science fiction, it's totally... Yeah. Going to be for you. If you don't, then you're not going to like it.
there are some things that they cheat on, but it's pretty rare. My favorite feature of the hard sci-fi side of it is how they handle artificial gravity in the ships.
Yes,
isn't that brilliant? I didn't even know it was going on for a long time. I was like really confused every time they'd show like an exterior shot of a ship in motion. I'd be like. Something in the back of my head was like, something doesn't seem right. Let's continue with the story. This is great. But after a while, I started to realize the ships are backwards. Why are the ships backwards? Why is that rocket on the front? Turns out it makes perfect sense. They launch off from their starting position to the direction of wherever they're headed. And what that does is it means that the inertia of the ship allows you to stand up against it. Okay, the inertia of that ship moving forward through space at a high speed means that you can. Anybody ever ride the Gravitron at a carnival?
Yeah,
yeah.
It spins around really fast. That's all it does.
I've seen people get sick on those. That's fun.
Sure, but it's like on one of those. It's a really unique experience because it allows you to practically stand on a wall.
Yeah.
If only they would let you.
Yeah. They usually.
If the supervisor
yell at you when you're not paying attention,
or you slip them a 10. But yeah, that's what they do on the Expanse with artificial gravity. They do the gravitron effect where sort of. That's a different physics effect you got in the carnivals. But my point being is that the motion of the contraption you're in, the vehicle you're in, creates a sort of a gravitational like effect. So it's a cool nerdy feature. Halfway through the trip, they have to flip the vehicle the opposite direction to start slowing down.
That
means they got to buckle up for a minute, and then they can unbuckle, and gravity's now working again. It's pretty slick little detail, but they kind of gloss over it and just kind of let it be. That's just how it is. But when you realize what they're doing, it's pretty impressive that they bothered to do that.
That's pretty cool.
I follow a couple science communicators on YouTube, and all of them are obsessed with it because of how obscenely accurate it is.
Things just got really nerdy in here, didn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's going to get nerdier because the next game they revealed was Killer Clowns from Outer Space, the game.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, it looks exactly like the movie.
Jacob, you were freaking out about this, weren't you?
Yeah, I was real surprised. Because, I mean, like, I know it's been discussed over the years as, like, one of those, like, oh, wouldn't that be fun if there was a video game based on it. And I think with all the asymmetrical horror multiplayer games that have been coming out, I don't know, maybe they just decided that the time was right for it. I mean, we just reviewed Evil Dead earlier this year. Texas Chainsaw is getting one. Ghostbusters is getting one. I mean, now Killer Clowns from Outer Space is going to get one. So I think that's pretty cool.
They're all made by the same people, by the way.
A lot of them are.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
Isn't it Ilphonic?
Ilphonic. They're involved with all of these. Friday the 13th. Actually, I've got a chance to meet the producer of Friday the 13th, the game. But yeah, he worked with a development studio. I think they're out of Colorado, I want to say. Hmm. I think they just announced Texas Chainsaw. And so they're doing more of the, you know, cinematic, accurate, kind of throwback game. What's this? So the asymmetrical thing just seems to be something that they're getting to be really familiar with. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, after that, they showed off a game called Scars Above, coming to PS4, PS5 series and PC. I don't remember a thing about it. It's been that long.
I liked the look of it. It was... It didn't have much to it, but no. It looked like it could be a decent sci-fi thing. So yeah. I'm for it.
Yeah. So abstract alien thing going on.
Yeah.
I like the next one is called Word Song. My notes just say no clue what the fuck this is.
Yeah, exactly. It was a trailer of all of like 5 or 6 seconds long, and it showed nothing. I don't know what it's supposed to be a game about. I don't know if it's in any already existing game uses universe. I don't know what the fuck it is.
Just creepy space magic. That's all I picked up on.
Showed a DLC trailer.
I think it's an endorsement. I think that's an endorsement.
Is creepy it space an endorsement?
Magic. Maybe. I don't know.
We're going to call it one. Age of Empires 4 DLC is coming out with the Ottomans and the Malians, coming out October 25th. There was a video for Gotham Knights, which is coming out October 21st to series PS5 and PC. And then they showed in
the neon logo.
Neon logo.
Boy, that glowed hot. That was a hot glow. Burn your retinas glow.
They showed off a game called Where Winds Meet, an interactive open world RPG with martial arts. They didn't show any info. It was just a long trailer.
I'm excited for that. That seems to be another Ghost of Tsushima type game.
Ghost of what?
Tsushima.
Well, what's it called again?
Fuck you. Anyways, so I'm looking forward to that. That could be very interesting.
I have cats annoying me tonight.
Get the fuck out of here.
Fucking butter picking on peaches behind the couch. All I hear is... like, just for the past 10 minutes. Fucking cats. Next up, Kojima was on the show. Holy shit, he's got some big news. He's doing a podcast. That's his news.
Yeah. Good for him.
In two languages.
Yep.
Yippee.
Yep. Park Beyond coming out in 2023 to PC, PS5, and the series from Bandai Namco and Limbic Entertainment, which will let you build your own amusement park. This one looks cool as hell. I know we saw it before, but it still looks awesome.
Quite amusing.
Eh.
And then they showed a car. A fucking Pokemon car.
You know. Did I miss it, or did... Jeff promised to ask what his favorite Pokemon was and then didn't ask.
Did he?
I don't think we ever found out.
Oh, that bastard.
I think it's all lies.
That car doesn't resemble Pokemon or have Pokemon coloring or paint or anything. That is the worst, dumbest fucking thing ever. I hated that.
You don't get it? They created their own Pokemon. It's a car. See?
I wouldn't be shocked they did just make a fucking motorcycle Pokemon, so...
When you're driving it, do you Parkymon?
Shut up. That wasn't even, like, remote... Like, that wasn't even, like, so bad it's hilarious. That was just... Shut up, Joe. You're banned
from Internet high five from me.
Sweet.
I don't know why, but now suddenly I find it really funny. Oh, no. The longer it sits with me, the worse it is.
They showed off a game called Blacktail coming this winter to PS5 series and PC. Aki, what's this one? You sound interested in it.
I'm pretty sure that's the one where it's talking about two sisters, maybe? That's at least how it starts, but then it's interrupted with, no, it's about a witch. And it just seems to be an action game where... I hope you get to choose between two different characters, but apparently one of them doesn't have a face, and the other one is Baba Yaga, so that's pretty cool.
You could tell it was getting long in the show, because like none of my games have notes now. It's just Phantom Hellcat, PS, Xbox, PC. Okay.
Oh, if we want to go into Phantom Hellcat, I can talk about that one, too.
Go ahead, what was it?
That seems to be a 2D platformer that turns into a 3D hack and slash during combat, and it has a lot of neon in it, and I'm looking forward to that one too.
Oh, I'm glad you paid attention to these.
Yeah, I only paid attention to the ones that I was interested in. We've already hit that limit, so hopefully you don't have any others, because
no, there's not much left. The show is almost over. They showed off the update for Crossfire X, the Babylon update, which I believe is out now.
I believe so. I've gotten two updates to it in the past like week or so.
Yep, and then they gave away the award for the most wanted PlayStation game of Gamescom, which went to Lies of P, hilariously a day one Game Pass game.
Yeah, well, Lies of P is it's a Soulsborne. Of course, it was going to be really high up there. PlayStation people.
I just think it's funny that a Game Pass game won the most wanted PlayStation game.
I mean, one of the best-selling PlayStation games of all time was Minecraft, so...
I mean, that's one of the best-selling everything games of all time.
That's true.
That sold well on the Wii U. Nothing sold on the Wii U.
I said it's about the only thing that did.
Yeah.
Didn't even know it was on that.
Yeah, there you go. Next game was Dwarf Romantic. It is coming to the Switch. It is made by four students in Berlin, and it is coming September 29th. I know that is a game Purnell wants so bad.
I know nothing about that game.
It it's reminded me a lot of, like, Catan.
Oh, okay.
Is it Catan or Carcassonne? I don't know. One of them.
Yes.
I don't know what the second one is. The first one is a card game, though.
Yeah. It's like a land creating turn based. It's a
Purnell game. I suppose it has some sort of point system, maybe.
Yeah, It's a Purnell game.
Like if you care about points, but if not, otherwise, it just seems pretty chill.
Something that is not chill at all is the Outlast Trials. This looks gory as fuck.
I just don't. I still am not quite sure what that game is. What kind of game is that? Is that just going to be another Outlast game, or is that a versus game, or what?
I don't know, but there's a closed beta October 28th, so we'll find out more then. Next up was a game from Embark Studios called The Finals. It is a shooter wrapped in a game show format. Steam playtest will start soon with a full reveal coming in September. So that was just a quick teaser. And then one final game with zombies and murdering, I guess, Dead Island 2, and it was Dead Island 2. It is coming out February 3rd. They showed a ton of gameplay footage. It looks really solid.
Yeah, it looks nice. The first game was kind of eh.
Oh, I love the first game. The first game was so stupidly fun. It was just low budget jank, B-movie horror, zombie murdering.
Yeah, see, I don't like jank. That's why it was very eh to me. I liked the rest of it. It was great.
I just loved every time you would change rooms with the rapper guy, he would just go, "We'll do it together." Every single time you changed scenes, I think it was nearly every time. It's "We'll do it together."
Who do you voodoo bitch is still an amazing song. I don't care. That was great. I love the opening of that game for that song.
The jumping where your legs go up, but your arms don't move.
So terrible.
Loved it. Something I don't love. Sony is raising the price of the PS5 in select markets due to, quote, global economic environment.
I.e. everywhere except for the U.S.
Europe, U.K., Japan, China, Australia, Mexico, and Canada getting anywhere from a $30 to like an $80 price increase, depending on where you are.
Yep, hence we don't know what the controller is going to cost.
Xbox has come out and said that they are happy to keep their prices at $299 and $499. So there you go. No price increase on Xbox. Something that did come to Xbox, we talked about this last week, Death Stranding officially launched onto Xbox Game Pass for PC August 23rd from Kojima Productions and 505 Games. Not on actual Xbox. Very important to note. This is PC only.
Yeah, they'd have to completely remake the game on Xbox, and I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't think they would have to remake anything, but...
Well, it's all coded for the PlayStation stuff. They'd have to completely rewrite the game to make it coded for the Xbox.
Yeah, I don't know. Xbox for PC Game Pass got a few more games from QuakeCon with Elder Scrolls Legend Battlespire, Elder Scrolls Adventures Redguard, Quake 4, Wolfenstein 3D, and Return to Castle Wolfenstein. There's also an Xbox Game Pass perk to unlock all champions and Quake champions on PC for free. So yay.
Cool.
Nifty, I guess.
You guys are so into the news this week. Knockout City has a new season beginning August 30th with some fun events planned through the season, through the fall, including a crossover with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nice. I mean, that at least makes sense.
How does it make sense? It's dodgeball with Ninja Turtles.
Because they're ninjas. They can dodge all the ball. It works.
No?
Yes. Do you not know what ninjas are?
No, I'm pretty sure I know what ninjas are. I mean like 50% of my DVD collection is kung fu movies, so
which is not ninjas at all, but okay.
I mean, there's ninjas in like probably like a good like 65% of those movies. So, Ninja Turtles.
No.
Dodgeball. I want to know if, like, there's an episode where they played that. Da, 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 da.
I can't think of one.
That's the seventh season of Knockout City?
Yeah.
Jeez, I didn't even realize that they were up to that.
Yeah, and it should actually be higher, but there were like long breaks in between some seasons.
Huh.
So,
and actually, it is a thing. They played dodgeball in an episode of the 2012 TV show. Or
does that count? I don't know if that counts.
It's one of the Nickelodeon shows, so you know, take your pick.
It was confirmed that Hot Wheels Unleashed will not be getting any more content. What do you think about that, Jacob?
I'm not surprised. Because it's just like online pretty much dies like within like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not like you can't like it. It's not like there you'll have issues finding a game to play, but it's just like it just gets to be
like
the same stuff. Like, I don't know. It just gets old real quick online, and it's just like it almost dies two weeks after they've released whatever new DLC has come out. And I don't know, the fact that there wasn't like a volume 4 announced, because usually they announced volume 3 all the way back when volume 1 was released of like the DLC and stuff like that for like passes and stuff. So the fact that like they never announced a volume 4, I'm not surprised, but it's just there's a lot that they could have done with this game. And yeah.
You could say that about a lot of games. I think it's good that it got the run it did. It would have been good to see more, but I think that Milestone has a lot to be proud of.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, like they're making a sequel or something. Like, maybe. I mean, for all we know, I will say this. I mean, the game does need tooling, like a lot of tooling, because it's just like 80% of the cars handle all the same, and it's just like, I mean, sure, it's nice at it's almost like a Fall Guys situation where it's just like, yeah, you can like have whatever color or whatever kind of car you want and all that kind of stuff, and you could still win the game, but it's just like you really have to dig into some shit to like have a car that will never place first in an online tournament. I mean, and it really wasn't until like the monster truck DLC that came in that it's just like my oldest son Sam, if I race in a monster truck, that's pretty much a guaranteed win for him. Like that's the only way like Sam will win against me. And it's just, I don't know. And the thing was that the monster truck tracks were not that fun, and it's, I don't know, it's frustrating to see. I really would have at least like more racing seasons, but I'm also kind of wondering if like the that Warner Brothers Discovery merger is really like fucking things up for them. That's because possible. Most of the DLC is based on Warner Brothers properties, so yeah. God only knows what the fuck's happening over there.
I don't know, but there's some bad news for Namco Racing fans, as Project Cars 1 and 2 are both going to be delisted. Project Cars 2 will be delisted September 21st, Project Cars 1 October 3rd. So if you want either of those games, grab them now or hunt down a physical copy.
I never even played either of them, so.
Well.
Are they any good?
I don't know.
I think one of them was Games of Gold one.
Yeah, I the thing is, I think I actually have both games, but I've never fired them up. And like I don't have any of the DLC for them. But it's just like, you know, I have that like knee-jerk reaction with it where it's just like, oh, I should go pick it up because they're going to delist it. But then it's like, you know, when Joe tells me like, oh, the Forza Motorsport, you know, that thing's going to get delisted. I'm like, oh, shit, I got to go buy it. And then I buy it and then play it. And then I'm like, oh, wait, fuck, I hate Forza Motorsport. I only like the Horizon games in the series. And it's then just,
you won't like Project Cars.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you for saving me like potentially like $60.
Cool.
Appreciate that.
A lot of people are going to be saving money on the Knights of the Old Republic remake because it's probably not happening anytime soon. It was supposedly moved from Aspyr Media to a Saber Interactive team in Europe.
Yeah.
So things don't look good for the KOTOR remake. Flashback 2 has also been pushed back to, quote, sometime in 2023.
What kind of game is that?
It's like Flashback 1.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
That was an old like action game for like Genesis.
Yeah, like an action adventure.
Yeah, so I mean, like...
So it's old people game, okay.
Old people game, fuck you.
Last bit of news I have is that Pentiment from Obsidian and Xbox Game Studios is releasing November 15th for Xbox One, Series X and S, Windows 10, Steam, and it will be on Game Pass, obviously. That is my news. Anyone else have any news, or can we let Drew go and carry on with his night and get away from us finally?
I don't really have anything. I mean, it's not really video game related. I just want to say I find it real interesting. Like, did anybody pay attention to the U.S. box office last weekend?
Mm-mm.
Number one movie in America, Dragon Ball Super.
What?
That doesn't shock me.
A fucking anime movie was the number one movie in America at $21 million.
What? Like,
holy yeah. What? Yeah, holy shit. Like,
I mean, that series of media has made over $400 billion.
Well, no. I get that part, especially since, like, I've been watching Dragon Ball crap since I was in seventh grade.
Did you not go watch it?
No, I'm broke as shit right now.
Oh, so I was like, you seem like you'd be the specific target audience of it.
Trust me, I want to, because my local theater is showing it in IMAX. Like,
gone.
Yeah,
he doesn't have money. Broke.
Yeah, and my kids are about to go back to school. Guess which takes priority?
The movie?
No.
Exactly what I was about to say.
The two are the worst. Anyway.
Hey, just don't care about kids. There's a difference. I'm not the worst.
No, you still are the worst. But anyway. Okay. But yeah, like, most of the time, like, these movies, they've been limited to, like, little Fathom Events showings, and this thing is an actual, like, theatrical release. It's, like, 3,000 theaters. And, like, they're doing multiple showings a day, and I'm just like, holy shit, fuck.
That's what they do with movies.
Joe, I swear to God, I would stab you in the neck with this pen if I was sitting right next to you.
Oh, my God.
I hate you so much.
Drew, anything else you want to talk about?
Hey, man, everyone should go check out the Revo soundtrack.
Oh, one more time. Give us the details. Where can people get it?
It's on Steam. It's on Itch. It's on Bandcamp. Pick your favorite.
Is it on iTunes?
No, it's not on iTunes. Is that your favorite?
Will it be on iTunes?
I could look into that.
I.e. Joe wants it on
iTunes. Who wants it on iTunes? Raise your hand.
You can't
specifically see Joe hand. Does.
I mean, I do, because I don't understand technology anymore. So I just buy all my music through iTunes.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I have an iPhone, so I buy all my shit on iTunes.
I'm pretty sure I'll put it on something else eventually. Yeah, nice. So I'll look into iTunes just for you guys.
Sweet.
Aw, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
That's our one good idea this episode, is telling you to bring your soundtrack to iTunes.
I don't know. I had the idea to tell you to shut up. I thought that was a good idea.
Well, the things you think aren't always very smart, so...
Hot kettle.
Oh, Lord. Drew, it has been absolutely awesome having you on the show once again. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. Where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing?
The simplest thing, cosmicmisfitstudio.com. That'll give you links to anything else that's going on, and show you the latest news, and links to the soundtrack. Go listen to it.
Sweet. Thank you so much for joining us. We are going to let you go because we have reviews to take care of. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Space dragons.
All right. Take care, Drew. You have a good night.
I will. Y'all do the same. Bye.
See ya.
So
I feel like he hates us or he regrets coming on.
Everyone regrets.
He totally regrets.
Everybody regrets coming on with you too. We have reviews we got to take care of.
But if they regret coming on with us, then why do you keep us around?
I don't know.
Because I'm great at my job.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Oh.
Yes.
What, Joe,
am I or am I not great at my job?
First thing to talk about tonight.
Oh, you fucker.
We have reviews. First item to talk about tonight is the Turtle Beach Reactor gaming controller created by Turtle Beach, available in black or in white and purple for $39.99. React faster with the Turtle Beach Reactor controller for Xbox and Windows PCs. Plug into any 3.5mm headset and instantly upgrade your audio with quick access controls for exclusive superhuman hearing, game and chat volume balance, and mic mute. Play longer and stay in control thanks to an ergonomic handle shape and texture grips, handles, and triggers. Two mappable quick action buttons on the backside of the controller let you customize your controls for quicker reactions. Jacob, tell us about your time spent with the Turtle Beach Reactor gaming controller.
So, first off, understand that I was given a wired controller. So,
yes, it is wired.
I'm telling the audience that.
Well, I'm saying there is no wireless version. It is wired.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Anyways, so the USB cable that I heard that the USB cable that it comes with is 8 feet long. So, you know, you have a decent amount between your Xbox and the couch, or you know, your laptop, whatever you want to hook it up to. So it feels like it's about the size of a normal Xbox controller. Joe was really excited because, like, he was just like, oh, I wonder if it's a lot like the what is it called, the Elite controllers.
Well, I knew this was more of like a budgetary line for quote Elite, right? Options on controllers. I'm curious to hear about the audio settings on this, the superhuman hearing. Like, what did you do with headset with this?
So, I mean, I talked to one of my friends while I was playing other games, and I also did do some multiplayer stuff with it, mostly in Hot Wheels. So you actually can fiddle with the settings, and it does allow you to hear better. I did test it with the two headsets that I have, and like it is noticeable. In retrospect, I probably should have tried playing like some sort of survival horror game along with it to see like how much it would like really amp everything up on that. You
should have played Halo or something to hear people sneaking around.
Or just, you know, everyone just call me a jackass and, you know, a cheater and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, either way. And so with it, like, there are quick settings that you can use. And let me back this up. So Turtle Beach says that there is an app there's an app on the Xbox that they say that you should download. The app has mixed reviews on it, but essentially what it is that it's supposed to be able to update your controller to whatever Turtle Beach has on it. Some people have said that they have issues installing it on Xbox Series X. I didn't have a problem installing it, but my problem was that this controller is not listed on it. And so the app doesn't recognize Turtle Beach's own controller. I mean, is this controller actually out now, or is it coming soon?
It should be out now. It is on their website, available to buy now for $40.
Okay.
Let me double check the email. It's possible that we may have this a few days before it hits street date. So it's possible that that's the reason. Is it like a Turtle Beach specific yes. app you have to download?
Yeah, it's called something like Turtle Beach Controller or something like that.
Did you try using the Xbox Accessories app? Does that work at all?
I didn't try that, in this Turtle Beach thing, like, I mean, they do have some Reactor ones in there, and it's like, choose your controller. And I was like, well, I mean, it doesn't list either of these, but I went with the white one, and it's like, all right, we're waiting for you to plug in your controller. And I'm like, it already is. Okay, well, whatever. Anyway, but that aside, I didn't have any issues like actually using the controller when playing. Sorry, my headset fell off.
Proud of you.
Thank you. So anyways, so there is stuff that, like, there is, like, a button you can hit that'll boost the audio for it, and it does help. I mean, it really is the main selling feature for this controller with it. I mean, I was able to hear stuff better, and, like, hearing stuff that, like, my friend was doing in his room that I was just like, yo, what is that noise? He's like, how are you able to hear this? And he was able to hear me pretty clearly, better than when I'm talking on my normal wireless controller. Now, that I'm not sure if that's just because, like, you know, wired is going to sound better than wireless. But, you know, it seemed to work pretty well with that. Now, the controller itself, so the regular D-pad that's on it, it feels similar to how, like, an Xbox Elite controller does. But the thing is that this controller doesn't have the weight that that does, which...
Yeah, Xbox Elite controller is a hefty controller.
It's a hefty controller, and I do like that. Like, I do like that weight on it, but at the same time, this would probably be better for, like, you know, my kids or something like that. I didn't mind the weight. It's not enough to dissuade me from it. And I do appreciate, like, big, huge friggin' buttons on the shoulders of it. Now there are two buttons on the bottom of the controller, and you are able to remap those to do whatever. But I'm not gonna lie, I've never had a controller where I had that kind of feature, and so, like, I'm just sitting there like, I don't know what I'm gonna do with this. Like, I don't play any games where that would have been necessary. Like, you know, like the Star Wars Jedi Knight games where, like, you know, you could map a force power to one of them or something like that. If you've got a game where you have to constantly cycle through stuff, it's definitely going to be useful. And yeah, like, there's a nice, like, grip to it as well. The controller is comfortable. It worked fine with pretty much every game that I played it with. Although there were some things that, like, if you're using the D-pad for certain games, I didn't feel like it was as precise on certain stuff. Like, when I was playing Arcade Paradise, some of the mini games in that, like, you're really better off using the D-pad on your Xbox controller for that. And I found myself doing better on a normal Xbox controller as opposed to this one, but I also, you know, unless you're playing a ton of retro games, I really don't, like, there's not a lot of games anymore that I play that would really need that D-pad. So it's just...
Yeah, and even Xbox as a whole has shifted from, like, the traditional D-pad shape to that disc D-pad hybrid that they have going on.
Yeah, and, it, like, honestly, like, I like the feel of it. I wish it had a little bit more weight to it, but honestly, like, if you really want to hear everything, this is, like, a pretty, I thought it was a pretty serviceable controller, especially at that $40 price point that you had just mentioned.
How's it, like, you said it can, like, ergonomically it felt well. Like, how were the button presses, anything, like, too firm, too soft, not clicky enough, any kind of issues with the buttons?
No, like, there were, I didn't have any issues really with the buttons other than what I've talked about with the D-pad on, like, certain retro games. My only other thing is that, like, those two buttons that you can map that are on the bottom, like, literally they're on the bottom of the controller. I mean, as I said, I've never had to use that with a game, but the thing was that, like, I was playing with them, like, you know, in like on loading screens and stuff like that.
Fall into the abyss.
I don't know.
My gaping butthole.
I get it, but it also never felt right. Like, so I don't. I mean, maybe there's some gamers out there who are just like, hell yeah, this is exactly what I'm looking for. And I mean, maybe, like, for bigger games, like some sort of, like, an MMO, like, that would definitely be helpful to map certain stuff to. But I don't know. I wasn't really a fan of it, but it also wasn't, like, a killer for it. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, all around, like, I thought it was a good controller. I wish the USB cord was a little bit longer. I mean,
eight feet is pretty good. I mean,
I would have appreciated, like, 10.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, like, I figure most of the people who are playing with this are going to be doing it on their PC or something like that. And so, or they have their couch close to the TV. So
I honestly figure this is going to be, like, a really, really solid player two controller choice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and my kids are thrilled with it as well.
Durability it held up with the kids.
Yeah, they were playing Minecraft with it, and I mean, I had to give it to my youngest because my oldest like hops around while he's playing video games. So like I can't give him anything corded because otherwise there's a good chance that like my system is going to get yanked off off the mantle. But my youngest is still able to just like sit still while playing video games, so he was doing fine with it. But yeah, I mean, at the same time though, I mean, yeah, it handles up to the stress of a 5-year-old playing with it. But at the same time, I don't know what controls I'd map, you know, for like Paw Patrol on a roll or something like that, on that controller. So I thought it was a good quality controller for $40. But you know, it's just like, it may have some bells and whistles that you may not really care that much about, but for $40 it's totally a good controller to pick up.
Cool. So your official verdict at $39.99
is, oh, it's a definite buy it. Like as I was saying, like the only downside is that D-pad, and maybe if you really like your controllers to have a bunch of weight to it.
I think the wire's a negative too, but that's, you know, that's,
oh, what, shit, yeah, sorry, right,
that's what, yeah, you're getting when you're only dropping like $39.99 on a controller. The wireless tech is a lot more expensive, so,
right,
I mean, concessions have to be made, and it seems like it's a good controller overall. So
yeah,
big shout out, please, to Turtle Beach for sending that one over to us. But it is now time for a brand new segment on the show. It is called Sports Ball Shenanigans. George, take it away.
And now for Sportball Shenanigans with Dingleberry Jones, Jacob Garner, on the SML podcast. We tried to get Bob Costas, and he was all like, fuck no.
Yes, that is right. It is Sportball Shenanigans time, and the first game we are going to talk about is Madden 23, developed by Tiburon, published by Electronic Arts, released August 19th on Xbox One and PS4 for $59.99, Series X and S and PS5 for $69.99. Play your way into the history books, control your impact with every decision in all new ways, call the shots and franchise with free agency and trade logic updates, leave a legacy in the face of the franchise, the league, and assemble the most powerful roster in all of Madden Ultimate Team. Jacob, tell us about your time with Madden 23.
I have a question.
No.
I don't care about you. Did you ever get it working, Joe?
I did get it working, but it took a full factory reset. I don't know what happened, but when I played the game, it worked fine for me initially, and then I went to play it, and it said my trial time expired. So I think it got confused with my EA Play trial. And I had to delete the game and reinstall it. But for some reason, every time I went to hit play, it would say that there was like a content usage error, or I had to connect to live to play it. So I ended up giving up, resetting my Xbox to factory settings and playing it, and it worked.
Okay, good. So, I'm glad you got it working again.
Yeah.
Did that happen to you, Jacob?
No. That's I had absolutely no issues.
Yeah, it was just something fucky on my end. So
with playing it.
Oh, well.
So, yeah, Jacob, Madden 23, tell us about it.
All right, so I got to review it, or wait, last year I didn't get to review it.
Yeah, you did.
That's right. Did I?
Yeah.
Or no, I had the... did I officially get to... or did I have to... No, I had the trial. Well, whatever. Anyway, so Madden this year. In case you didn't know, John Madden passed away since the last Madden game came out. So this one is very much focused on the man and his legacy.
Yeah.
And I got to say, like, I thought it was a really nice touch with, like, how they handle that opening game that you play. Both coaches are Madden, and, like, both teams are filled up with, like, his favorite players from throughout football history. And there's even, like, a little nice, like, 5-minute documentary in between or at halftime for it. So that being said,
voice this game then, or did he die before?
Oh no, they used all archival clips and archival footage and stuff like that. It's basically a big tribute to him.
Yeah. Okay. And it's just like, I mean, they'd play clips, but I mean, like, you also have to realize, like, the man was involved with football for like 40 years. They've got plenty of audio to pull from.
Yeah.
For him. So yeah. So it looks like EA finally listened to like what I've been begging for since like Madden 06. And with this one, and of course this was also with John Madden's ethos, as they will tell you in the game, that he wanted football to be accessible to everyone. And so this one, it looks like EA really took that to heart and making it so there is a ton of training materials for you to learn how to play Madden, sharpen your skills, and explain how exactly the game works. And God, it is a beautiful thing, because like for once I felt like I actually really knew what I was doing. So instead of just like, what's up?
I said, I don't believe you.
Yeah, no, I mean, still half the time I'm just throwing the football and hoping for the best, but you know. And so honestly, that right there was a big plus. The game looks absolutely fantastic. Like it looks even more prettier than last year's did. Although I did actually have some issues with clipping, especially during that opening Madden game that they do, but it seems to have evened itself out. So I don't know if it's just like day one, you know, jankiness on the game, but I haven't really been experiencing it since. But yeah, so I've been playing through it. There are like, you know, it, if you've played previous versions of Madden, it carries over your settings, so it automatically knew I wanted to play as the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I've been crushing everybody, mostly because I've have it set on rookie, but
rookie and arcade, right?
No, actually, I don't have it set on arcade.
Really? I do.
Yeah.
fuck penalties.
No. And so with it, it's just the game. Like, I don't know. It's just like it feels like a more fluid experience this year, even compared to last year. And I was really enthusiastic about last year's too. Like,
you know what I'm not enthusiastic about? Like,
hold on.
Okay.
Honestly, like, and one of the things I thought personally was handling it better for people who suck at the game generally, like me, tackling other people. And with this one, it's, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like, it seems like you're able to control more people towards a single tackle, and getting stuff done. And it's just like, I was nailing the shit out of everyone. And Lord, is it a joy to watch somebody like, you know, go from the 10-yard, like, the 10-yard line and force them all the way back to the goal line, cause they're just sucking that bad and you just sacked them. But yeah, it's just like, I've been having an absolute blast with it. I'm still trying to figure out like the, my character thing. Like, I'm not the best at it, but at the same time, it's just, I don't know. It's a feature that they throw in every year, and it's like, you know, you can use it if you want to, otherwise, you know, just run with your favorite team and just steamroll over the competition. So, as you were saying, Joe,
one of my big gripes with this game is the user interface. I think the main menus and how the game like guides you into certain sections make no fucking sense at all. Like it starts up and it's just a screen with two icons in the corner. And if I click one, it takes me to like the my team. And if I click the other, it takes me to like the my team still. And I have to do packs and then I have to do missions. It's like, I can't just find where I do a normal ass season. It just seems like the UI is way too cluttered. There's way too much going on. They need to simplify it, and they need to stop pushing you into certain directions where it's like, oh, well, you have to do this mission to unlock this card. I don't give a shit about the cards. I just want to play some fucking football.
I didn't run into that similar issue, but no? But the thing is that I had also quit the game after that initial Madden game at the very start. And so when I hopped back in, it just brought me right to the main menu. And I hadn't, I'm not familiar with like what you're describing.
No.
Like I had hopped out after
that. Can you make your own player?
Yeah.
because I couldn't find how to make my own fucking player. All I could find is how to make my deck. And, you know, I have a great deck. There, it's like 80-something ranked deck when you start at, like, 59. So I have great cards. Shout out to the PR company for hooking us up with some good codes for the game. So I have a great deck. I don't know how to make a play. I can't figure out how to do anything in the game.
Yeah, one of the achievements has to do with your player being a quarterback.
Yeah, and I like, it's just the... The UI is so unintuitive and so user unfriendly that I can't figure this shit out. Granted, I lost a few days because I couldn't get the game to work, but still, like, I shouldn't have that many issues just figuring out how to create a character.
That's honestly, that's weird because it's just like when I booted up, you're playing the Xbox Series X version, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because I just booted up and it's like, yo, you want to go play as the Steelers and rock some shit? Yeah. I don't know.
I'm going to start the game now so I can see what it fucking starts me on.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't have that issue with it. I don't think it's in my opinion, I don't think it's as cluttered.
You don't?
I don't think it's, I thought last year was like, last year I couldn't figure out where to find shit. This year I'm fine.
I think it's still just cluttered, and
maybe Madden loves me more than you.
I don't know. I thought the UI just isn't that great this year. I think the user interface has a lot to be left desired. But the actual gameplay when you're playing it is satisfying. It is easy to get into. I had a great time in that Madden Pro game. The fact that they had a cutscene of Tom Brady holding his hand up and everyone ignoring him had me rolling. Just him going for the high five and everyone ignoring him. Like, I can't believe they had that in the game. That made me so happy. Fuck Tom Brady. What else do you think about the game?
I've been enjoying what I've been playing with it. One of the things that I do appreciate is that the commentary almost never repeats. It's even better than last year's, which I thought was pretty good compared to the previous years I had played with Madden. I don't know. I don't really have, aside from like some stuff in the game that I don't really care about, the make your own player and stuff like that. And the packs, I don't really care about that kind of stuff, but it's just what I've been playing, I've been very satisfied with. The only thing that I really wish that Madden would do at this point is have some sort of feature where you can up the AI, but still play do you know how the controls differ between rookie and all-star and, and all that kind of shit? I wish I could just keep the rookie stuff and up the opposing team's AI with it.
So just I wish I could just do those two settings for the AI.
Yeah. And so it's just, and the thing is that's not really a negative. It's just something that would be, that'd be cool. I think it's a solid game. And honestly, I'm pleased with the direction that, Madden has been taking these last couple of years, because so often, one of the criticisms is that it's the same game year after year. And I think EA is finally taking that seriously, that, we can't just keep doing that. I'm pretty pleased with it, and I'd recommend it.
Cool. Well, it is $60 for last gen, $70 for new gen. Your official verdict?
Yeah, it's a total buy it. I mean, not everyone's going to be into Madden, but if you've been on the fence about it before, this is an excellent time to hop in, especially with all the training material that they have in the game now. It's a really fantastic addition, and I really hope that they keep building up on that kind of stuff.
Cool. All right. Next game to talk about is Little League World Series Baseball 2022, developed by Iguanabe, published by Game Mill Entertainment, released August 17th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $49.99. Get in the game and become a Little League Baseball World Series champ. Choose your team and showcase your skills as you compete through the bracket to see if you have what it takes to be named the Little League Baseball World Series champion. Jacob, are you the Little League World Series Baseball 2022 champion?
No.
No, I am not. But at least I can at least take solace in that true achievement says that nobody else is either. So
that's always a boon.
Yeah, currently, but I think it's because there's an achievement that's broken. But so with this one, I was really hopeful because it looks like it, and it treats itself like it's a very arcadey game. And for everyone who's ever been unfortunately had to listen to me babble about the Super Mega Baseball series, knows how much I love the second game as opposed to the third one. And I was really hoping that this game would be taking in that direction. And so with this one, it's like they don't really use any actual teams. And like they try to make it more cartoony. Everyone has these like little animations that they do, like when they come up to the plate. And I'm not gonna lie, like seeing them for the first time was amusing, but the second time that you've seen it, like in the same inning, you're just like, holy shit, I wish there was a way to skip this. And on top of it, like there's one where like it's like the guy just slides across to the plate, and I'm just like, I don't know if like that's actually intentional or if this is a glitch and like they don't have the thing working right, or there's one where it's like they're not even there and then suddenly like boom, like they're there. I don't know if it's supposed to be like a
I would chalk it up to a appeared. Bug because yeah, this game, I'm not impressed with this game. I had high hopes for this one. I was very, very disappointed with this game.
Yeah. So not only do you get to that, like an unskippable, like this happens with every single damn kid that comes across the plate. One of the things that I also thought was interesting is that the game, if you hit a home run, it's just like, yeah, you hit a home run, and then it just forwards you to the next person. If the opposing team hits a home run, you have to sit there and watch as everyone comes across home plate. Like, I'm just like, why the hell are you?
Fuck that.
Yeah, like why don't I get to watch my own kid, like my own team hit their home runs? And like, why
did
don't
you
I get
skip
to see
the animation
that?
Accidentally?
No, because I've hit multiple home runs.
Why would you want to watch that? I'd be more annoyed that you have to watch either of them and can't skip them.
It's something that, like, for me, it's a personal thing. Like, if somebody manages to hit a home run, I let them have their moment of glory, even if it's just, like, computer NPCs and all that kind of stuff. Whatever. Even on opposing teams when I'm playing, like, Super Mega Baseball, like, if they hit the home run, I let it go. Like, it's just a personal thing of mine. But I thought it was real interesting that it's just, like, the game skips over your home runs, but forces you to watch the opposing team. So there's that. And then when you have your team run, like when you have, like, let's say you've hit the ball and you have your player run to the base, they will stop at first. And then you have to manually tell them to go to the next base. And the thing is that, sure, that's not a bad thing because like plenty of other baseball games, you have to do that. But the problem is that the reaction time for all the players, whether you're telling them to take a base or if you're on defense at the time and you're telling your guy, hey, you just caught the ball, throw it to first, like go get fucked, because like that person's like the computer AI reaction time is like they stop, they've caught the ball, they think about it, and then they throw. And it's like by that time the person's already gotten to first base and that was a waste of everyone's time. And then on top of it, you can actually block out that kind of stuff because this game has quick time events, which I'm like, what? And so you can actually like steal a base through a quick time event, or you can catch catch the ball when it's clearly about to be a home run. You might be able to block that with a quick time event. And it's just, I don't know. Like, and it, like the thing is that it, like, it seemed like they were done completely at random, And then there's also power-ups that you can use, but the power-ups never really seem to work or matter unless the opposing team is going to use it, which, again, is another issue, because even when this game is like set on easy, the opposing team's AI pretty much just hits every single damn ball that like they come across. Now, like, it may not like be a home run or a single or anything like that, and you may catch it anyway, but it's just like actually striking somebody out feels like a fucking achievement in this game. Like, and not in a good way.
No.
And it's just, it's a really frustrating game. Like, the thing is, the bones are there for this to be a good game, and it just misses it, like, so much. And I really wanted to like this, and I'm just endlessly frustrated with it.
Yeah, it was not a fun one. I like when you set a game to easy and you get blown out like 8-0 after one inning, it doesn't feel good. It's like the pitching didn't feel good. Lining things, it didn't matter
pitching never feels like it matters.
It didn't matter where I hit through the ball, they hit it.
It doesn't matter where in the strike zone it is. It doesn't matter what style of pitch it is. It just, like the opposing team's just going to hit it. Like, awesome.
Well, that sounds terrible.
I mean, I have not lost a game in this game yet, but it's just like they've all been close and like not in good ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't based on like, you know, oh, Jacob sucks at this. It was just like the AI is just relentless on this. And it, like, if I'm, you know, me, like somebody who is 37 and has played multiple baseball games, if I'm this frustrated with it, imagine how my freaking kids are going to be with this. My kids would quit in a second on this game.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
the game is a problem.
They like watching me play Super Mega Baseball too, but like honestly, I know if I handed this game to my kids, they'd be like they wouldn't even last an inning. They'd be like, "Yo, I want to play something else." So
this is going to be a hard one to ask, but $50. What is your verdict?
Oh, are you serious?
$49.99.
In its current state, this is absolutely not in its current state. As I said, the bones are there for this to be a good game. It needs a lot of tweaking, and I'm hoping that, like, if Game Mill decides to release like a 2023 version, that they will do an overhaul on this game. I really do think it has the potential to be a good game, but this just ain't it. Just no.
All right, you got one more game to talk about. That is Hidden Shapes Black Skull and Old West, developed by Yaw Studios, published by Cubite Interactive, released August 25th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $3.99. Hidden Shapes Black Skull and Old West is a collection with two beautiful and relaxing minimalist hand-drawn jigsaw puzzles that have two options to choose, pirates or cowboys. Jacob, what's going on?
All right, did you play the last Hidden Objects game? Hidden Shapes game?
I did, but pretend that the people listening haven't. If
you did, then congratulations. You know what this game is like.
Yay.
All right. Review over.
No.
all right. So with this one, it's as you said. You can either choose from cowboys or pirates. Most of my focus has been on the pirate ones. And with this one, all the puzzle pieces are out there in like the correct placement. You just have to rotate all the tiles so then they make the correct puzzle shape. And then after you finally completed it, which can be a really frustrating experience if you don't know about the one button that will reveal like what, you know, it'll show all the pieces that are in the wrong position in red and like everything that's correct in white. Now that I know about that, as opposed to the previous game that I played, I was breezing right through this game and I was having a pretty decent time. As you go through, the puzzles obviously are going to become more complex. The pictures are pretty nice though. And each one can take, I don't know, somewhere between like 5 to 10 minutes to complete. As you get everything rotated correctly, and then it does this nice little fireworks and like colorizes a picture, and then you move on to the next one. You know, it's fairly standard stuff. There's not really a lot of depth to this game, I will warn you, though, that if you do decide to hop out, the game will this game still has the same problem as the previous entry, where it's going to try to place you on the puzzle, whatever puzzle you previously just completed. Like, so if you play the game, quit out of it, like completely shut down the game, start it back up, it's going to start you back on level 16 instead of 17. But that's easily corrected just by going into the map for
and
this
paying
game
attention. Oh, is that hard to do? Pay attention.
It's right, Jacob, of game, course.
When the game automatically does it, like, I wish you guys could see how I'm talking with my hands at you right now. I'm just like frustrated.
I imagine you're with talking your talking like that, like I'm talking to you right now with my middle fingers up.
No. Actually, it would be what the internet calls Italian. But anyway, So anyway, So yeah, so you have to be careful about that. Otherwise, you know, it's a fairly it is a fairly relaxing puzzle collection, and the art's nice. So yeah, aside from like similar hiccups as last time, yeah, like there's not really anything negative about it. It's just if you don't like puzzles, you're not going to like this game. But
if
for
you for $4, what do you say?
For $4, it's absolutely worth it. Cool. Like, yeah. I'd recommend it. I mean, it's never going to be like game of the year for puzzle enthusiasts. I mean, maybe it will be if you really like pirate puzzles, but you know, it's a solid puzzle title, especially for $4.
Cool. All right. Well, that is it for you, Jacob. Get the hell on out of here so we can continue on with our reviews.
Absolutely.
You have furniture to move, don't you?
I do. Although that may be postponed. I'm not sure yet.
Sweet.
So, all right.
Have a love good night, Dingleberry all. Jones.
Thank you.
Next game to talk about, Aki. I know you're excited about this one, aren't you?
Probably. I'm not sure which one it is I'm reviewing first, but I have a feeling I know which one I am. The one I'm currently playing literally and have been the entire time.
I've probably next today. Game to talk about is SD Gundam Battle Alliance, yep. Developed by Art Dink Corporation, published by Bandai Namco Entertainment, released August 25th for Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $59.99. SD Gundam Battle Alliance is a multiplayer Gundam action RPG where you can smash foes solo or with friends in thrilling mechanized combat, acquire new mobile suits, power them up, and take them into battle in various missions. Aki, what is going on in SD Gundam Battle Alliance?
Okay, in this, you are playing as some random schmuck that's part of a, recording squad, I guess is what it is. They record battles and stuff with this person's suit in order to make other suits better, i.e. you're the guinea pig who's probably going to die like a little bitch. Yay for being a soldier, I guess. And you have been, and you were on a mission during the 1 Year War, which is the original Gundam anime. And you're pulled from there into this place called the G Universe, which I don't know if there is anything outside of this game for that. And from there, you go through various other timelines in the game, or in the anime universe, and you're basically fixing the breaks in it, because it's all just recorded history, and you're more or less now you've been digitized, so this is all fake stuff for you, and they're trying to correct the recorded histories that they have of everything. And by that, you know, you might find, for instance, during the fight where you were brought in from in the first place, one of the suits from your timeline suddenly turned into a suit from another timeline, and that needed to be fixed because it's way advanced compared to what's in your timeline. And that's basically what you're doing, is you're going around fixing those things from various timelines throughout the directory of this online history place. And throughout this is basically, it's not quite Dynasty Warriors But it's almost. You have significantly less enemies on screen, you know, maybe like 10 or so, and you're fighting them in whatever Gundam you decide to pilot. You get a big old range of them, and as you beat different levels, you unlock more of them, which is really cool. You get different blueprints. Sometimes they're for beating levels and getting them from bosses, or sometimes they're from little containers that you can pick up throughout the level. And yeah, you fight a whole bunch of really popular suits. You get to play as a whole bunch of really popular ones. And eventually you get AI companions that you get to use. And they're all popular characters from the various TV shows. Like, for instance, if you've watched the first Gundam, you get both the gun cannon and the gun tank, and eventually Armoro even, as AI partners that you get to have alongside you during combat. You can only have two of them, sadly, so you can't get like 50 kabillion of them and have all of the suits all at once, even though that would be fucking awesome just to run through an area with an entire army of mobile suits at your back. Aww. Anyways, so yeah, throughout this you can level up your Gundams. Each one is leveled up individually, and you do that by playing through the levels. You get what's called credits. Again, you get those from killing suits, through crates, or through just beating the levels. I also believe gives you some. And you take and you use that. You spend that in order to raise one of four attributes for the Gundam. Either their HP, their boost, which is literally boosters. It helps them move around faster and is how they jump. Your ranged and your melee. There is stopgaps to your leveling, which kind of suck. You get to upgrade your suit from 1 to 15 originally. And then you have to get through a certain amount of the mission, the game missions, in order to get it up to the next tier. Because you have to collect certain upgrade items that allows you to open up the next set of upgrades. And it seems to be each goes up by 15, it appears. I'm not 100% sure, because I've only gotten to level 30 so far. But only? Through this, yeah, well, I'm at level 30 with one suit and level 15 with almost every other suit.
Oh, Jesus.
That I have currently unlocked anyways, which is a lot, because I've gotten stuck on one of the missions against a mobile armor, which you don't see too often in anything outside of like the anime and manga. You don't find too many of those as models or as figurines or too often in the video games even. So it's really nice that you get to do that. They're really, 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 really fucking hard to beat though. So yeah, that's why I've been stuck on this for 2 days.
And you, yeah. You literally mean 2 days, because I just checked your hours playing. 35 hours.
That's all. Oh, shh. I honestly expected it to be higher than that.
1 day, 10 hours, 20 minutes.
Yeah, all day today and all day yesterday.
You've had it less than a week.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't sleep the first night. I just played this literally the entire time.
So I'm taking it you liked it a little?
Sure, we can go with a little. One thing for everyone to notice, and I've gone to the Steam forum as well and saw a lot of this, which is why I'm bringing it up. This is called SD Battle Alliance. SD, Super Deformed. It means chibi. Because I saw lots of people getting very upset that, why is this all the chibi forms? Why isn't this normal? It's because it's SD. It's literally in the name. That is the style. So, you know, if you don't like the SD, which are little chibi versions, which I personally don't particularly like SD, but this is also the first single-player Gundam game I've been able to play since the PS2 era, because that was the last time I had a PlayStation. So I was like, you know, I hate SD, but
fuck it, it's single player, and I haven't played one of those other than like the Dynasty Warrior Gundam games that were kind of eh. I haven't played one since the PS2, because that was the last time I had a PlayStation, so I'll take it fucking anyways, and I've really enjoyed it.
I don't think you ever mentioned before that you hated the SD versions. I think the only thing you said to me about this game was, please, can I review it? Please, can I review it? Please, 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 please.
Yes. Yeah, probably. I've mentioned that I don't like SD before, but it would have been a long time ago, probably when the game was first announced a long, long time ago. But, you know, this is the only single-player Gundam game I've seen on the Xbox, realistically. Other than the Dynasty Warrior games, which I don't consider Gundam games, because they're Mushu games.
And they're not playable on current gen anyway.
No, they're not. Your sets of levels in this are also dictated by directory. Again, this is all your digitized form thing. And I'm currently on only directory 4, and I have no idea how many directories there are.
Hey, kids.
I think I'm less than halfway through the game. Even though I've put this long into it, I think I'm less than halfway through the game. If I ever get past this fucking boss, I think I'll be okay again for a good long while at my current level. But this boss is mobile armors are hard to beat. they're ridiculous. Because they do a lot of damage, and they soak up a lot of damage. And this one also happens to be highly mobile as well, so it's like, I can't get away from it, and it just wipes me out. I'm just like, oh, I just want to kill it. Just let me kill it once. Just one time! Then I can play the next mission, and maybe get to level up my character to level 45, I assume. And then come back here and wipe the floor with you, you rat bastard! But
oh boy,
we'll find out eventually if I ever manage to beat this level.
And if you do, we'll have to do an update on this. But as of now, the game is sitting at $60. They also have a special edition for $85 that comes with the season pass and some other little bonuses there. What are your thoughts? Do you think it's worth grabbing the game, grabbing the special bundle with the season pass, holding off on that? What do you think?
I don't know what all they're adding in the season pass. I know they're going to do a couple missions, but I don't know if they're going to be singular missions or not. I assume they're going to probably be adding a whole bunch of other Gundams as well.
It shows that they're adding scenario pack 1 has 2 missions, 2 additional scenario missions, and 2 additional playable units. Scenario pack 2 has 2 missions and 2 units, and scenario pack 3 has 2 missions and 3 units.
And how much is the season pass on its own?
25. And then you're also getting a material combo pack 1 season bonus and an early unlock for the Command Gundam unit.
All right. Well, the materials thing isn't really important. That's how you upgrade your
Gundam. I'm just reading the store page. Jesus.
Well, yeah, I'm just informing everyone. That's how you upgrade your Gundams to where you can upgrade beyond level 15 is you need the materials that you have in that pack. You get 3 of each because there's different types of Gundams. There's all-rounders, melee, and ranged. And there's 3 or 5, actually, of each one of them in that pack. So you can just really quickly get it to where you can go beyond level 15. But you get so many of those and so quickly. Once you've unlocked that ability in the game to do that upgrade, you get so many of them all in all the levels that that pack doesn't really mean anything. As for the Command Gundam, you get that right from the start, almost. And that Gundam is really good, especially early game, because its stats are
significant. You got an early unlock because you got the premium edition.
Yeah, I think it's an early unlock for everyone if you get that the deluxe edition.
Yeah, it's early unlock for the Commander Gundam unit premium edition bonus. So it's only for the premium edition. You get the early unlock.
Yeah, it's really good. That's actually the one I'm currently using. Actually, once I picked it, I've only used it almost exclusively.
So do you think it's worth the game at $60, or do you think it's worth the special deluxe edition for $85?
I think the 85. I think you'd be, you get your money's worth on that just because you get all the extra missions. If you want to hold off on that, I understand. I still think it's worth 60. It's really good as long as you can stand the visual style of it. If you're like, if you look at this and you're like, I fucking hate these visuals, then obviously you're not going to like the game. Yeah. But as long as you're good with the visuals, it's fantastic. You get the original voice actors and everything doing lines from the TV shows and stuff. You get the Gundams. They all, whilst they're chibi, they still look like the Gundam. You recognize all of them. I think this is great, especially if you're a Gundam fan like I am.
I can tell.
I am biased. Yeah. In case anyone didn't realize, I've probably spent a couple $1,000s to just buying Gundam models and putting them together, and I have probably a few $100 in old Gundam figurines from forever ago.
Good lord.
I love Gundam, so I'm very biased. But I think if you like Gundam, this is clearly a for you game. This is really good.
Cool. All right, next up is The Company Man, developed by Forest, published by Leo Fool, released August 26th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $19.99. The Company Man is a classic action platformer where you play as an average salaryman, Jim, hit your crazy coworkers with a keyboard, shoot your evil bosses with emails, and buff up with coffee beans at the Goodwater Company. Survive the struggles of working life and fulfill your lifelong quest to be CEO. Aki, what is going on in The Company Man?
That is actually a really good description of the entire game. wow. I don't like that description exists. Oh, no.
Should I read the rest of the store page and just call it a review?
Yeah, you might be able to. shit. Okay, in this, you play as Jim, and very beginning, you basically get sabotaged, so you're demoted. And from there, you go around beating the shit out of your fellow employees. It's not a hack and slash or beat 'em up. You just, whilst you do always just move to the right hand side and you beat up everyone you come across, you don't get a bunch of them all at once typically. I think the most I've had to fight at once is like 3 different enemies. But you go there and you beat them up literally with a keyboard that's kind of shaped like a sword, and you use it to shoot the enemies with emails of different types. And you unlock different types of those emails as you get further into the game. So some of them are like, oh, this is a pistol. Oh, this is a shotgun, et cetera, et cetera. And those take energy. Which you get back over time, or if you have an upgrade via the coffee beans, can get it also from killing enemies. You're basically going up the corporate ladder throughout this entire game, and I think there's 8 levels, I do believe. Check the store page, it might actually say that down in the descriptor. How many levels there are, but I believe it's 8.
Says, put your platforming skills to the test as you jump and dash across 7 corporate departments riddled with booby traps, quirky coworkers, and tough bosses.
Okay, so yeah, there's, I don't know if there's 7 levels and 8 altogether, or because the last one is literally just a fight against the CEO.
Well, don't give it away.
I mean, that's the entire story of the game, is you're trying to become CEO. Of course, the last fight's going to be you fighting the CEO. Well,
you can't spoil it.
Well, I'm not spoiling the fight. I just said, I don't know if that counts as a level in and of itself or not. So I don't know if there's 7 like full levels, as in full different departments, and then you fight the CEO as the 8th level, or if there's 6 levels anymore, and then you
spending
fight
the CEO way too much time on this point.
I know, it bothers me that I don't know this, because you can look at Steam and you can check my account as well and see how many hours I put into this on Steam back when I reviewed it on Steam forever ago. But yeah, each different department has its own boss. They don't share a lot of enemies in between them either, thankfully.
And they have their own visual distinct style. For instance, one of the first ones is you fight against the dude who does all the financial paperwork and billing and all that other fun stuff. So it's just mountains of paper everywhere. There's giant, you know, dumpsters basically of paper. And, you know, you have a bunch of enemies that are either carrying paper or they're making paper airplanes that throw at you and damage you, so on and so forth. And then there's, you know, another level that's accounting, where they freeze accounts and stuff. So that entire area, instead of having a bunch of paperwork, it's all frozen over landscape. And you fight a bunch of people who are like wrapped up in winter clothing and stuff. And so every level has its own unique look. Yes, I said unique. Get over it. You make one friend there, the lady who gives you basically access to the next area after you beat an area. And in this one, you also can upgrade yourself via the coffee beans at the coffee bean lady. They require coins that you can make through the levels by killing enemies. You get like a coin or two each enemy you kill. And then there's also, in this version of it, which wasn't in the original one on Steam, there's also little alcove areas that you can find that are, I wouldn't necessarily call them hidden, but they're kind of out of the way, that will give you a large coin that's worth like 10 coins, none of which gives you enough money to do anything. I played through two levels before I got a single upgrade because I didn't have enough money. Yeah, it's a real shame, because originally in the original Steam version, after you beat a level, you got a ticket that you could go over and just get an upgrade, whatever upgrade you wanted. And I like that system more, sadly. It got gotten rid of even in the Steam version. Yeah, so you fight different bosses and stuff, and some of them are your size, some of them are huge, some of them jump around. There's a lot here. Some of the enemy types get really irritating too. Like, there's a little ninja dude in accounting that jumps up and throws like paper shurikens at you and shit, and he just won't stand still, so it's such a pain in the ass to hit him. I fucking hate that.
Well, do you hate the game? It's sitting at $20. What are your thoughts on the company, man?
I think it's totally worth it. I really enjoyed it on Steam. I've enjoyed what I was able to play on Xbox. Sadly, I came across a bug that only I have ever hit.
Yay!
Fuck me, I guess. where I beat the boss at level 3, and then the camera decided not to follow me, so I can't actually get out of the building.
Oh.
Yeah, so I've restarted it. Sadly, there are achievements in this game related to beating the game within a certain amount of time. You can beat the game in under 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
On normal. And I was going for that. And I had to go back to the lobby, which canceled all my progress in level 3, even though I had just beaten the boss of it. And I went through it again and fought the boss, and it did it again. I went into the lobby. I'm like, okay, I've probably wasted enough time on here. I probably can't get it in 2 hours, which was a shame. And I was like, well, I'll message the devs. They haven't figured out what the hell I've done so far. So hopefully they'll figure that out and I'll be able to actually finish my run.
Hopefully,
at the very least.
Your verdict?
I am all for it. I think it's a good little beat the shit out of your fellow employees game.
Cool. All right, one final game to talk about tonight on this fucking marathon. One final game like no other, The Legend of the Twin Books, developed and published by Actune Studio, released August 25th on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $18.99. Dan is a bumbling first-time adventurer who risks everything to solve The Legend of the Twin Books by exploring the abandoned town of Red Pines. Aki, what is going on in Like No Other?
Well, can you tell me how much this was again?
If it
you
didn't is $18.99.
Okay.
In this game, you play as this older guy. It's a point-and-click game. He has come to this town that was hit by an earthquake and has turned into basically post-apocalypse land. And you're trying to find some book for some reason that it doesn't explain to you or tell you or anything. And this isn't a game. This is like a proof of concept. This is two levels and you can beat it in like 10-20 minutes.
What?
Yeah. It's two singular levels that are very short. And when I beat it the first time, I was like, okay. There's more to this, right? And there's not more to this. Nothing you go out to do is explained or furthered upon or anything. It's just two little levels that seem like they're the very beginning to an actual story. Because, you know, he's in this town and he gets, and in the town, he's looking for something that will point him the direction of this book that, again, doesn't explain. He just wants this book, apparently, because it's some person's legend or something, but nothing about that is explained. And then you go to the area where the book is, and you get it. And then the game ends. There's not a second book, for one, in it. It's called The Twin Books. There's not a second one. It doesn't tell you what the book is, ever, or what it does, or what he does with it, or anything. I mean, it's a cute, really quick little game, but yeah, at $25, it's very hard to say, yes, go buy this, because that's a lot for like a 20, 30 minute long game.
It's not 25, it's 19.
Oh, 19. Okay.
Even still, that seems like a lot for, I mean, on Steam, it advertises itself as a 2-hour game. It says it has 23 rooms to explore. I don't know how big the rooms are. Actually, it's 23 unique rooms to explore, but I don't know how big the rooms are. So
they're tiny.
The fact that this seems so short for $19 is kind of worrying. Like,
It says it's a 2-hour game. That's because you have to beat it 2 times, and even then, I still don't think it takes 2 hours.
Damn.
I think the first time I played it, it took me around 50 minutes, and the second time I played it, it took me about 30-ish at most. This game is incredibly short. It is cute, and I would like to know what the fuck happens and what any of this was about, which should have been part of the game. It's very hard to suggest this at $20 for
what little's so here. Little.
Yeah. Like, if this game was actually a full-length game, this seems more like I've played a really quick demo.
Yeah.
So, it's very hard to suggest.
So, I guess this one's a wait for a sale, huh?
A super sale. I would be like, this is like a $5 thing, in my opinion. Because it's just so short. There's nothing to it. And between your playthroughs, it's only to make one change at the very end.
Damn.
Otherwise, it's the exact same thing, which is why it only took me like 25 minutes to beat it the second time, because I knew where everything was. didn't take me any time. And I went and did my collectibles that playthrough, which added more time to it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think so, sadly.
Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through a long one.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of a long one. Thanks.
You're still done before midnight.
I'm going to be here till like after one, so.
Yeah, but, I'm going to leave and go get rallies. So.
But major thanks to Drew for coming on, hanging out with us, chatting about Revo. Go check out the soundtrack. We are going to end the show with some music from the soundtrack. Aki, do you have any final words to end it?
Go, Gundams, motherfuckers!